The guy is gone. Did you see his hands?
What? He's got the shakes?
Look, he's operating on his own. He's cut off from his chain of command. He's showing signs of pressure-induced psychosis. And he's got a nuclear weapon. So as a personal favor to me, will you try to put your tongue in neutral for a while?
I gotta tell you, I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
This is Ian Loring from Cinerama and 35mm Heroes. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Police.
I'm coming, goddammit. What do you want with an old lady?
Ma'am, we're looking for Fowler Bedeau. Our records say he lives at this here address.
Well, your records are wrong. He lives at that address in the back. What do you want him for?
Just looking for him, ma'am.
Well, he don't live there anymore. He's gone off. Took that son of a bitch Clyde with him.
Clyde?
His ape.
His ape.
You heard me. What you making me repeat myself for?
Do you know where he's gone?
Oh, who gives a damn? Stealing all my Oreos, crapping all over the place. 12 ribs my ass.
Thank you very much. Sorry to bother you, ma'am.
Yeah, good night, ma'am. I'm sorry, too, you see. Leaving an old lady alone, fending for herself. No protection.
A present for you and your guests.
That's a wild boar.
No, that's a wild pig. That's a wild boar.
Funny. Very amusing. So you're Robin of Locksley, huh?
Oh, I've heard so much about you.
Ah, Maid Marian. Rumors of your beauty have traveled far and wide, yet I see they hardly do you justice.
Oh. What a smoothie. She's definitely a smoothie.
I've come to warn you that if you do not stop levying these evil taxes, I shall lead the good people of England in a revolt against you.
And why should the people listen to you?
Because, unlike some other Robin Hoods, I can speak with an English accent.
Put the bunny back in the box.
I knew you was a punk, and I was right. You've been playing us all along. You a free man.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Die, punk.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Require, please don't hesitate to scream. Coming! We're so busy!
Woo! Yeah! Hey, I'll scream. everyone! Welcome to the show!
It's time for Nowhere More Mary! Film.
Television, pop culture. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us every Friday at 9, 8 Central. Here on NBC. Be there! Just kidding. We're on Ustream. We're in a live feed. But hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here because we're here to talk about a lot of things. A lot of things that we love. A lot of things that we like talking about. I guess that's why we do a show talking about them. I'm just kind of like repeating myself now. So I'll just introduce who I do the show with. Steven, the pop culture zealot. Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Going great.
Steven, we had an incredible night last night. We went somewhere really cool, and we'll talk about that in a bit. It was pretty awesome.
We also have here
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm okay.
How are you doing today, sir?
Excellent.
Awesome. Guys, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're here to talk about stuff. And I'm here to unwind. Oh, yeah. Now, why don't we go ahead and talk about Conan first before we get into the voicemail? We'll just kind of go over it. Bill, last night we went to the Conan live show.
Yes.
Not allowed to be funny on primetime tour. I can never remember the exact name of it.
Not legally permitted. Legally prohibited. Yeah, legally prohibited from being funny on television.
On TV, yeah. And it was really fun. It was cool. You know, we got there. I'd say we got there just in time. We had a little bit of
leeway. Yeah, we had a little leeway. I stood in line forever to get a T-shirt.
Yeah. We got a couple of T-shirts, a cap, a keychain, a poster.
Holy shit.
That was a lot of fun. I mean,
you going to sell those on eBay?
Oh, no. We're keeping that stuff. I had to get something for Emma, you know, because she, you know, she couldn't go. It was a school night. But
just a keychain for her.
A T-shirt. I can't fit in any T-shirts. You know, whenever they have T-shirts somewhere, they have like 2X. It's like, that's not fitting on me.
I know. I'm shit out of luck when it comes to that, too.
So basically, whenever we go somewhere, we get a shirt for my daughter because we know it'll fit her, whether it'll be a night shirt or eventually she'll grow into it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I see a really cool shirt that I like that I could never fit into, I buy it for my niece.
Yeah.
And she ends up wearing it as a night shirt.
So it's really just something for us to buy. Like, we bought this. Okay, let's give it away now. You know, but we'll get to see it.
It's in your immediate family here, and you can see it every time you watch.
And, you know, I would say we had really good seats. We were pretty close to the front, but we were off to the right where you couldn't see the entire screen.
They had a projecting screen back behind them.
That part kind of sucked. But other than that, we were really close where we could see Conan well and everything. And
they were like fifth or sixth row back there on the side.
So, I mean, it was a lot of fun, except for the part where, Bill, there would be parts where they would show a funny thing on the screen. And I'd be leaning over. Heather would be trying to lay across Steven, trying to see. Poor Heather, she was at the furthest right. She couldn't see anything. So, but other than that, it was a lot of fun, a lot of funny bits and stuff. And it was just great to see Conan live because I was telling Stephen how, you know, back in the day when he was on Late Night with Conan O'Brien on NBC, it was always like, man, I'd love to go to that show, just see it taped live, you know.
And I went to New York to work and our job got canceled, I was going to go to the show. I was like, but if you don't have tickets, you have to get there like super early, stand in line, and hope you get one of the few tickets that are left.
Right.
You get put on the standby line.
Yeah. And you didn't do it?
No, I was trying to find, nobody wanted to do it with me. And plus it was December, so it was like, you know, 18 degrees outside.
But what was awesome is we got to see this show, and it was really cool because, you know, it mixes music with comedy bits, and Andy Richter's there too, and the whole Tonight Show band, minus Max Weinberg. And it was really funny, and Conan did this bit about people who have a show and I don't. Kind of like, they have a show and I don't? You know, like
Kim Kardashian has a show?
Yeah, Snooki on Jersey Shore. And he goes, who's this guy? The cake boss? This guy? He's like, oh, I make the cake. He's like, who's this guy? And then this other douche, and it shows the Ace of Cakes. And he's like,
smug bastard.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, you make it with dough. And he's like, oh, yeah, great show. It was just funny.
I needed the flour.
But for a long – but he had a big picture of, you know, projected on the screen of Buddy. And I just thought it was hilarious. Who's this guy? The cake boss? I was just dying.
This guy has a show and I don't?
It was really just a really fun time. It was great. And, you know, I know that basically when his tour is over and he's going to start his show in November, which it can't get here soon enough. But when he does, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
If the tour comes close to you, go see it.
Yeah, because I don't think he's ever going to have time to do something like this again. You know what I mean? Because he'll be...
Because it's different, a little different in every town, it seems, you know.
Yeah.
We had a special guest here, Jimmy Vaughn, Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother.
Right, that was pretty cool.
He was the musical guest here in Dallas.
And they had an NBA player there, Dirk Nowitzki, with the Chuck Norris thing. And you know what's funny, Bill, is I had read a lot of stuff that was going to be in the show, but I forgot about it as I was watching it. So then when he would bring stuff up, I'd go, oh, yeah. And he was like brought up the lever where you'd pull it for Chuck Norris clips. And that was just gold. I love it all. It was just, you know, a big love fest or whatever. But, you know, unfortunately.
Sounds like you had a blast.
Unfortunately, Bill, you know, something traumatic happened yesterday, too. And I don't even know if I want to talk about it, but. Steven, thank you for laughing at my misery. But
I just laugh at you bring it up because I don't even hardly notice it, you know. But
Steven, okay, I mean, here's what happened, Bill. You know, people that know my hair is very important to me. You know, I always got the stick up hair going, or even if it gets long, I still have it styled, don't I, Steven? I use product. I use the gel in my hair.
Just a little quaffing of
it. When it gets a little long, you know, it gets stiff on the sides, and my daughter calls it branches. Why do you have branches in your hair? Because it gets, like, really, like... So I'm going to go get a haircut before I see Conan. It'll be cool. I'll just get it kind of short, but keep it pretty long on top. So usually what I do, I've done this before, really dramatic short, where I get, like, clippers, you know, have them shave it with clippers. Like, start with the number 2, which is pretty short, right? Mm-hmm. And blend in with the 3, take an inch off the top. So it's nice. It's pretty – got a nice length on top, but it's really short around the sides. But then I started doing number 3, blend into 4, inch off the top. That way you don't see so much of my scalp, and it's not that dramatically short, you know? So I go there, and I tell the girl – it's always somebody different at the place I go. It's never the same person. I say, I'd like the number 3, blend into a 4, inch off the top. And the girl says, oh, you want a 4? And I'm like, yes. So anyway, she's talking. You know, they do the chit-chat. So, how you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, are you an AA? Or, you know.
Are you an AA?
You know, like, how you doing?
That's anonymous.
What
lady.
Religion are you? It's like, these are very personal questions, you know. So she was like, zzz, in the back and on the sides. And so she's talking. So, do you got any big plans tonight? And right in the middle of my head, she goes, zzz, and I go, what? I just look in the mirror. I'm like, what the? All of a sudden, I look like Fraker from Death Wish 3, man. What the hell? And I go, I didn't really want you to do that. She goes, what? And I go, I didn't want it this short in the middle. I wanted it an inch off the top. She was like, oh, my God. And immediately, she got really dramatic. She's like, oh, my God, I'm shaking right now. And she's like turning red. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I almost felt like, all right, calm down.
Yeah, really, lady.
It's okay. You know, like... Hey, it's hair. It'll grow back. I'm a dude. If she would have done that to a woman, then you're going to lose your job, God, right? Yeah. But I was like, no, I wanted... She's like, usually when people say they want 4, they want it over the top of their head, too. I was like, I don't know what that means exactly.
Well, lady, you didn't listen to me.
I said I wanted 4 and an inch off the top. So if she didn't understand me, she should have said, now what do you mean? Or she should have said... Are you sure you want your head shaved on top? That's pretty short. But she didn't say anything. She was just like, okay, So I was just sitting there looking at my head. I was like, my hair is so goddamn short. I don't understand what happened. What happened? And it was just kind of like, you know what? Acceptance. All of a sudden, I turned inward, and I was okay. And I calmed her down. It's like, it's okay. No big deal. You know what? It'll grow back. And,
I have Nazi leanings anyways. So
yeah, it's like, you know what? I was thinking about joining the neo-Nazi movement anyway. So
But, I mean, what did you say, Steven? My hair is about as short. It's like Jack on the first season of Lost, isn't it? He kind of had that buzz cut look. But I've never had that before on my head, so it's shocking when I look in the mirror. I'll forget about it, Bill, and I'll go to the bathroom and look in the mirror and go, ah, my hair is so short.
Probably makes your head look like Sputnik.
Yeah, I'm not used to it at all. And, well, I went to go pick up my daughter and just, you know, like, what is she going to say? And she's just like, Daddy, you know? So
you're not my father.
So I tell my wife about it, and it's funny. The first thing she does, I open the door, and she goes, she looks at my hair, and she goes, "Why didn't you stop her?" And I just was like, "Oh, it must look pretty good then." I get that reaction. Oh, I'm looking pretty good. She was like, no, I didn't mean that. And I was like, no, that's cool. Let me find a hat. And I put a hat on for a while. It's like, man, you really just gave me a complex there, your reaction. No, I didn't mean that, but why didn't you stop her?
She did the exact thing that women don't want men to do.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to wear that? What do you mean? I mean,
you're going to wear that? I laugh more at the reaction Jason gives than...
Well, this is what I'm thinking.
Because the haircut is fine.
As I'm sitting there and I'm getting, and this happens, I'm like, eh, it's going to be a bit.
He's got a buzz. Cut and
well, I'm no. I'm like I'm going to turn this into a bit. I can talk about it. That's the one thing from it. Like I can call Steven and tell him what happened, make him laugh. That's one good thing that comes out of it. You know?
Did you get the girl's name and tell her that you were submitting it to the complaint department of Great Clips?
No, I totally forgave her for everything.
And he tipped her. On top of that,
you tipped her.
I gave her a dollar, and
I'd have punched her in the arm and said, "There's your tip, hon."
I was totally just like a pushover about it. Like, no, it's okay. And it was probably because she felt so bad about it or she was used to feeling bad about her bad haircuts.
Well, that's probably what – she probably had that entire routine down by
then.
Because
she would have said this, "Oh, not again." You know, like, what? Not again.
I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
Yeah. I have hair-cutting Tourette's. Sometimes I just walk all off.
As long as she didn't cut my ears or anything. But it's like she didn't even have to use scissors yesterday on my hair. She just did it all with clippers. That shows you how short my hair is.
So, yeah, a dollar
sounds
is...
Like, it sounds like what you got, what I just do to myself.
Well, you just you go... Know,
I don't care what my hair looks like. Normally, it takes about a week to grow in because my hair grows like a wild weed. But I end up putting like the inch and 5/8 thing on there. I don't know what it is. 3, 2, I don't know the numbers. And just buzz it all off. And
yeah.
So I'm not a... That's the way I don't pay for haircuts. I just do it. If I had a Flowbee, I'd use it.
The one good thing, Bill, is it gets over 100 degrees here in the summertime, and it does. Yeah. It is practical haircut. This morning, it was weird. I, like, didn't have to blow dry my hair.
That's the best thing about getting your hair
no product. Off. I was like, this feels weird. I don't have to put anything in my hair because it's not long enough for any reason. It's like, I want to put gel in my hands and do something, you know?
Yeah, you just buzz it all off, and when you wake up and take a shower, and then you get out, you're just like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, you just buff it dry with a towel and you're done.
It. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, and a lucky thing is my hair does grow pretty fast, and probably by August it'll look decent.
I think that's why skinheads are so angry all the time, that they don't have anything to take their mind off of.
I just bought this bottle of mousse!
Oh, who gives a damn?
I love
shit
that lady.
All over the place.
I love that.
Crapping all over the place.
The best thing about that whole
Eat
scene is that the cops get the hell out of there as soon as they can. They're like, and they just drive away. This lady's insane.
God damn it.
You know what's so appropriate about that is you use that, the music from it, the biker gang music.
Yes.
In the intro. And a couple weeks ago, Ian Loring on Cinerama. Actually covered Every Which Way But Loose because he has this movie monkey marathon madness thing he does.
Awesome.
So it fit in perfectly to have him in the intro and it over the
that is
Every
cool
Way But Loose music.
That's awesome. Well, good. I hope he digs that.
Son of a bitch.
Oh my god.
And I actually use Clyde giving the middle finger on my Twitter. That's one of my favorite movie moments.
You know what I think, Bill? Subliminally, that was in my head.
Probably.
Or something like that. That's pretty awesome.
I love Clyde. I remember seeing Everything Between But Loose when I was a little kid and just falling in love. I wanted a monkey from that point on.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
All right.
Wow.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Maybe it wouldn't fit in the box. I don't know.
We got it out of the box.
Have to analyze the situation. So anyway, I had a great time. It, basically, Conan was good because it helped me feel better. But, you know, I'm over it. I'm not stressing about my hair. It's just funny when people who know me see me again for the first time. Emma's niece, she was like, ah! You know, she's like, what happened to your hair? It's like, damn it. Every time I see somebody, I'm going to have to deal with
it. You need
this.
To wear, like, one of those board signs.
I'm glad I don't have a family reunion this weekend or something. Yeah, ask about the hair.
I mean, back years ago, I used to, you know, my hair was a different color every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, blue,
people
purple, red.
That.
And, you know, it's just like, I was used to that. That didn't bother me. Is that, yeah,
now my hair is
2
colors all the time, brown and gray.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of gray. That's another thing. When you get hair, when I get haircuts now, I see this gray falling down. I'm like, where the hell is this shit coming from?
Well,
man?
You know, this week I got really freaked out when I went in the bathroom in the morning. I'm washing my face and I look in the mirror, and it's bad enough I have to look at my fat mug, but then I notice on the sides of my head, at my temples, I've got these big gray spots. I was like, holy shit, what the hell? I'm only 30 years old and I'm going prematurely gray?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm getting the gray right above my ears.
I need to get me some Grecian formula.
Yeah, my buddy at 21 had that gray spot right in the front, you know.
Oh, no, the skunk head.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have that shit.
He had that little 2-inch little bit of hair that just curled up.
See, that is bad, because no matter what you do, it's always there.
It's right in front.
Yeah. He had to just blow his brains out. That's what I would do. What am I talking
about?
I'm just saying if it was me, I couldn't deal with the gray spot.
Now he's almost, you know, he's my age and almost completely gray.
Oh, well, that's good. See,
what a smoothie. Think of that. That skunk spot, and you automatically think Jay Leno, and you automatically think, I wish he'd blow his brains out. So
yeah,
you put two and two together, and there you go.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. I hope your friend's in good health, Steven. Now, guys, let's go ahead and get into voicemail here. Enough about my hair. My hair, holy shit.
This is obvious. I mean, we need to get Jonathan Anton on the show.
It's like, dude, your
about hair a lot.
Your hair is not banging right now. Talk to me in a couple of months, and then I'll be able to
get
do
some chunk funk.
Like you I couldn't can't like if I put silky dirt in my hair right now, I wouldn't do jack shit. That's how short my hair is.
Maybe that's what you need to get is jack shit, not silky dirt.
Jack shit, new by Jonathan Anton.
I just told him he needed to fade it down a little more on the sides to make the top look thicker.
Yeah, like cut the sides even shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a bad idea.
Then you'd have a high and tight like a jarhead.
Exactly. Yeah, a big jarhead haircut.
All right, you guys ready to do some voicemail? Huh?
Sure.
I think it'll be pretty cool because, you know, one thing that's cool is last week's episode, last week's show, I should say, we didn't get really a lot of feedback on the forum. It was kind of depressing. We did get some Swiley. We got Andy Hayes telling me that the Enhanced podcast was screwed up. That's always the worst when it's the first thing anyone says, like, dude, it's messed up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit.
I felt bad for Andy today. I saw when I got home this evening that he was in a car accident today.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, he's okay, but his car's pretty much totaled.
Oh, man, that sucks. Well, I'm glad
he's
okay.
So he's not in the chat room tonight. He's probably somewhere dealing with not having a car anymore.
Well, sorry about that, Andy, but we'll play your voicemail here in a second.
Hopefully it wasn't his fault and he gets some money out of it.
Right. So, guys, let's check out some voicemail here.
Silky dirt, dude.
Exactly. Here's an Adam voicemail.
Hey, Mulberry guys. This is Adam from the Bay Area in Kmart, of all places. Not the biggest fan of shopping at this joint, but I've heard you guys use the word spittle before. The dude that's the greeter here at Kmart. Extra amounts of spittle on the corners of his mouth. I just had to call and let you know. All right, bye.
Cool. Gross.
Spittleville.
So the first thing you see is an old guy with spittle in his mouth? Gross.
That's exactly what I want greeting me when I go into a Kmart or Walmart, is some old guy that's had a stroke and has the left side of his mouth drooping with spittle coming out.
Welcome to Kmart! Zombie!
Yeah, well, I'm glad you have a job, Mr. Zombie, but I'm going to go... you don't want to be depressed the moment you go into a store.
I'm already depressed because I'm walking in Walmart.
Where are the auto parts?
Welcome to Kmart. Whoa. Face your mortality.
This will be you
in 30 years if you're lucky.
We don't even have Kmarts in Texas anymore. I didn't even know they were around.
I think the majority of them closed down here in Ohio.
There's a couple here left.
Yeah, in California and stuff. All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Chris in Buffalo. Let's check it out. He's in Buffalo. Hey, guys, we're in Buffalo. Oh, wait, wrong place.
Hey, guys, it's Chris calling from Buffalo. It was really cool to hear you guys talking about Salem's Lot this week.
Oh, cool.
I've been reading Stephen King on and off since I was a kid, ever since my mom let me buy a copy of The Shining for our trip down to Florida when I was like 11 or 12 or something. And
holy moly.
I actually remember reading it on the way down in the back seat, and we stopped halfway down at a motel, and I was crossing my fingers because I was freaked out that we'd get room 227. I think we ended up down the hall from it. Anyways, I read Salem's Lot not long after that, and I actually just reread both of those recently. It was kind of cool to see what the experience was like and how different it was, you know, as an adult. I found The Shining in particular, it was actually more unnerving because I could feel the gravity of the disintegration of the relationship between Jack and Wendy, but I definitely think it was a good move to check out Salem's Lot before reading Wolves of the Cale or Songs of Susanna, because knowing Father Callahan and his history and stuff, I think makes those books more enjoyable. I know I was really psyched to see that character again.
Oh, cool!
And pick up his story. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some more Dark Tower talk from you guys. Loved those episodes that you guys did. Anyway, I had a real good time hanging out in the chat room and listening to you guys live Friday for the first time. So have a great episode 202, guys, and I'll talk to you later.
Delaware. Hi. I'm in Delaware.
No, he's in Buffalo. What? No, thanks, Chris. That's awesome. I love talking about Stephen King. Bill, you know that anything about Stephen King, I try to work into any kind of conversation.
Yeah. In fact, this evening you were talking about it, and I was like, oh, he's stretching it, but I'll go along with it.
No, Bill, I'm not stretching it. It's all around us. That's all I have to say.
Now, if you see a construction site or a soon-to-be construction site with a single rose, then I'll start going along with it.
See, but even last summer
I
did a motorcycle. I rode the motorcycle past the Shining Hotel.
Nice.
You know, that's so funny that, you know, I grew up, that my house number was 227 Locust Street. You know, and it's just, I always got shit from kids at school because of the show 227.
Yeah.
But
where's Sam and Hemsley at, Bill?
They'd always ask me if I lived with Jack Kay.
Yikes, that'd be a traumatic childhood.
Oh.
But that's really cool about, you know, I'm right in the middle of Salem's Lot, Bill. I know you already finished it. I'm right in the middle of it. It's such a good book. Whenever I sit down,
I'm actually listening to the audiobook now and really, really loving it.
Sweet.
This guy that reads it is terrific.
You know what?
I can't remember his name, but he's great.
We found a British radio play of it, too. Like, the BBC did, like, a kind of like a, one of those radio serial type of things on it.
Yeah, and I was reading on Wikipedia that it's actually coming to CD here at the end of this year.
Oh, cool. And, you know, we can provide the links for that for anybody who wants to check it out, because it's all online where you can just download it for free. It's kind of cool discovering things like that. And we were talking about how much, work of Stephen King has been adapted by someone, whether it be in graphic novels or like a radio play or et cetera, et cetera, or, you know, two TV made movies. It's, you know, stuff like that. It's just so much of his work. Somebody has taken it and tried to do their own version of it. And, you know, we know it's hit and miss, but it's really cool when you think about how much of it's out there.
It's miss more than hit.
Yeah. Now we have another voicemail, this one from Mike, or should I call it Chinstroka?
Nice.
Versus Punta. He does that podcast, and let's check it out.
Hey guys, Mike from Chinstroka versus Punta, or Panta, as you would have it, Jason, here. I haven't been in touch with you guys for a really long time, and I looked on your message board after I posted, after I voicemailed you last time, as just an act of podcasting vanity, really. And I was amused by the fact that somebody referred to us, I don't know whether this was sarcasm or whether it was a genuine misunderstanding, but as Chinstroker versus Panther. I don't think I'd last very long in that particular face-off. But anyway, I'm calling to congratulate you on your 202nd episode. A few things I just wanted to throw out there. First of all, I mean, in all seriousness, you reached 200 episodes. Hopefully you're going to keep on trucking. It's a pretty impressive task. And I've said this before on my own show, just so you know, I'm not, you know, blowing smoke up your asses, and on other shows and on Twitter, and to anyone who will listen, that I think you guys do the best podcast or internet radio show, whatever you want to call it, on the internet. I think there's absolutely no doubt about that. A lot of other podcasters in the UK that I hang out with, in the virtual sense, would certainly agree with me there. Just want to throw out a couple of things about, you were talking about Salem's Lot. I mean, first off, I mean, I was a big Stephen King fan when I was growing up, and I went and ended up going to university doing an English literature degree. So like a lot of people, I had a very kind of pretentious looking down my nose attitude towards Stephen King. But I mean, it's refreshing that you guys do talk about what a great writer he is. I mean, in relation to Salem's Lot and the understandably to a certain extent derided TV movie of it, one thing I've got to say in the defense of it is that, I mean, considering it's a made for TV 1970s piece, I do think it is pretty impressive. I mean, there's the fact that there is, you know, this child murder in it, and, you know, I mean, infanticide is one of the great taboos, and a lot of the sort of dark design of it, a lot of the stuff that Toby Hooper carried over from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I really liked about the visuals of it, and, you know, I was very haunted by it. It was definitely one of those sort of formative experiences.
Well, it's creepy.
And I think that, you know, David Soul actually put in a fairly decent performance in it as well, but yeah, you guys are right. It is pretty on the nose. The other thing I wanted to mention as well was thank you for introducing me to Spartacus Blinsand. And you guys are totally right. I've got a couple of friends to watch this, and I said, you really need to stick with this. And they've watched the first couple of episodes, and I'm like, what the F are you thinking watching this program? And I'm like, no, guys, stick with it, seriously. I'm just about to sit down and watch the final episode. And, I mean, I got the moment at the end of the penultimate episode, there is but one path. We must kill them all, really just elicited a genuine punch-the-air reaction from me. But, yeah, keep up the good work, guys. Loving the show. It's as great as ever. I'm really sorry for the fact that I haven't been in touch that often. As I'm sure you know, being actually involved in podcasting really cuts into the time that you've got to do that. But let it be said that a lot of people out there love your show, and I'm sure, obviously, that for women definitely moisten at the very sound of what you do. So keep on trucking.
Yeah, I wish. Nice. Thank you. Yeah! I'm glad you...
Chinstroker versus Punter is one of those shows that I listen to every episode. And I have been for a couple months now. And they've done some terrific stuff. One of the things that... I've never been a fan of Star Trek, admittedly. I've always thought it was kind of lame. But they do these wonderful episodes called The Beginner's Guide to Star Trek, where they cover different episodes of the original series. Like most recently, they did an episode based on City on the Edge of Forever. And just hearing the genuine enthusiasm that Mike Chinstroker and Paul Punter have for these classic episodes of television are just – it's infectious. And it, I mean, I hear them talk about it, and I want to watch it. Like, I ended up renting the first season of Star Trek on Blu-ray and watching it and then listening to their commentaries on the episodes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and their most recent episode's terrific. Episode 97, they cover Westworld,
Nice. That's a childhood favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's a really great show. And they're really funny guys, and they have a terrific, terrific show. I can't recommend Chinstroker versus Punter enough.
No, I understand what he means by, like, at the time when that Salem's Lot TV movie came out, that was, like, a big deal, and that was some pretty heavy shit for primetime television, you know?
I do have to admit, they go in a different direction with the Barlow.
Right.
Vampire. They go more of a Nosferatu kind of thing.
I'm not sure what the hell that was about.
And although it didn't make a whole lot of sense, and he used Straker as his main voice, like everything that he said in the book is said by Straker in the or James Mason in the movie. It kind of works because it's a little visually creepy. I've always been very freaked out by the whole Max Schreck Nosferatu kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that works, but everything else is a little much.
Yeah. Well, it's
especially
like
Fred Willard in it. It's just like, what? It's really young Fred Willard as
like,
the.
Is this all improvised agent. Like his Christopher Guest movies? Like, is this like a Waiting for Guffman type of thing?
I'm waiting for him to comment on a dog show.
Well, you know, Mr. Barlow. Do you collect dogs, Mr. Barlow? It's like, what are you doing there? It's like this non talking bimmer. Fred Willard must die. But, hey, Mike, I wish you nothing but the best with your podcast. That's really awesome. And
yeah, they're now part of the Pop Syndicate website, which is really cool. I think that puts them out there into an even larger audience, which they definitely deserve. Great
sweet.
Show.
Hey, maybe they'll do a Spartacus show covering all that?
They'll cover things that they watched recently at the beginning of the show. And mention stuff like that. Cool. They did an episode a couple episodes ago about Ninja Assassin, the James McTeague directed Ninja Assassin, which I personally thought was awful.
Yeah, that's always disappointing when you hear that something's really bad.
But they also did a commentary on Cobra.
Nice.
Which I just love.
I'll check that shit out.
Yeah.
But thanks, Mike. That's awesome. I wish him nothing but the best.
See how fortunes rise along with your cock.
Okay, Batiatis. All right, guys, we got another voicemail. This one from Andy Hayes, who is just in a car accident. Poor guy.
He's in traction right now.
Oh, dude. All right, let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Andy Hayes. Just calling to say hi, and a couple of things that I wanted to mention. Here. First of all, a couple of days ago, I had a chance to watch the Superman 2 Donner Cut. They were showing it on USA, I think it was. And I was pretty impressed with it, actually. I thought that some of the scenes that they decided to use really played well, and they made the story make a little more sense, I guess. They cut out some of the stuff from the previous director. I forget what his name was. But I liked the movie a lot, and I was wondering if any of you had seen it and what your thoughts were on the Superman 2 Donner Cut. And Robin Hood's going to be coming out pretty soon, and I don't know if you guys heard or not, but apparently there's only going to be two fight scenes in the entire movie, spoiler alert. The rest of it's supposed to be just dialogue, and it sounds like it's going to be set up a lot like Kingdom of Heaven. Kind of the structure of the story is going to be a lot like Kingdom of Heaven. A lot of exposition and very little action. So I was wondering if you guys heard anything about and what your thoughts were on it. And also, I just heard like a couple days ago that the Star Wars movies are supposed to be coming out on Blu-ray pretty soon. Sometime in 2011, I think it is October of 2011 was what I heard. And I hope that it's going to be the original trilogy and not the special edition original trilogy. I'm pretty sure that you guys are hoping the same thing. And I wonder if they're going to be doing it as individual movies or as a big, huge set of six.
$500 box set.
Or whatever. Really. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there and see what your take on it would be. And also, in the same sort of little news blurb, I found out that the Star Wars original trilogy characters are going to be continuing the story of their lives, but they're going to be doing it in a cartoon format, which I found kind of stupid. Also, I've been playing a lot of the 2K Major League Baseball game, 2010 version, and I'm hoping to get a perfect game pretty soon. I don't know if anybody's actually gotten the first perfect game, because
you lost me when you said baseball.
You're the first person to get a perfect game on that, pitch a perfect game on that video game, you get $1 million.
Whoa.
So, somebody already did.
That's kind of what I'm shooting for. Anyways, a couple of games that I'm kind of interested in seeing come out, the new Medal of Honor game. It's supposed to be coming out pretty soon. There's also Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Looks kind of interesting. So, anyway, I think I've talked too long here. So I'm going to let you guys go. Have a good show. Bye.
Well, thanks, Andy. It's nice to hear from you. Oh, no. Oh.
Was that live audio from Zena's car?
That's his phone cut off right after that. I didn't realize he actually sent the voicemail. That's why he wrecked his car. Yeah. He sent us the voicemail.
Andy, you're not supposed to talk on the phone while you drive.
That's dangerous. But, I love the Medal of Honor games. I've never played the Ghost Recon, though, because I'm afraid of ghosts, so I don't play that. So I'm not going to go out and recon looking for them, you know?
Two of the Ghost Recon games and never was really a fan.
How do you kill a ghost with a sniper rifle is what I want to know. You see it like 200 yards out, it's going, woo!
Yeah, you use tracer rounds, plasma bullets or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, I always thought vacuum cleaner. Luigi had it right. You just go up and vacuum up that sucker.
It's a self-contained vacuum in the bullet. Sniper vacuum rifle. I think there's one of those in Borderlands.
Awesome. Andy, hope you get your car fixed.
Shoots out one of the Ghostbuster traps.
All right, we got a voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out. Hey, Sean, what's up?
What's up, Nim guys? It's Sean from Los Angeles. I was so glad to have a brand new Mulberry episode last week. As always, it was awesome, brought the funny, and was interesting to listen to the whole way through. I found the Salem's Lot discussion pretty interesting. I've never read the book, cool. And I haven't seen that miniseries from the 70s, but I did see the Rob Lowe version of the miniseries that came out like in, I think, 2004 or something. And they had Rob Lowe, Rutger Hauer, both of Jack Bauer's dads, Donald Sutherland, and James Cromwell. Yeah. Yeah, James Cromwell. He was in that too. And that was a piece of crap. So I'm sure the book is way better than
that.
Yeah, it was like a miniseries that was on TNT, and it was not good. So do not check that out. And
we'll skip it.
Speaking of Stephen King, I started reading The Gunslinger. I decided to venture and begin the journey of the Dark Tower series. Because I hear you guys mentioning it from time to time, and also because of the NIMH Book Club, and I want more NIMH to listen to, so I'm going to start reading these books and listen to these episodes as I go along. So far, it's pretty interesting, and I've just finished the first chapter, I guess, the Gunslinger. And already I see a lot of things that are pretty similar to Lost, and where Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof drew certain elements from. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's really interesting, and I'm digging it so far and looking forward to reading more. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Lost, I was really bummed this week because I found out that I'm going to have to work next weekend on Saturday. I'm going to have to work nights for my job because we have a special project going on. So I'm going to be working nights for several days in a row, from basically Saturday to Thursday. And because of that, I'm not going to be able to watch the series finale of Lost. I was so bummed. I was really, really sad. And I'm going to miss the ending of 24, too. I mean, you know, 24 has gotten better, right? Yeah, these last few episodes have gotten pretty interesting. So it looks like Jack's going to go out on a raging rampage of terror, like The Bride and Kill Bill, but yeah, I'm pretty bummed that I'm going to miss both of
Five
those finales.
Death palm,
I'm probably going to be too tired from when I come back early in the morning after I finish work to watch those, so they're probably going to have to wait till the following weekend, which means I'm going to have to go dark and completely avoid internet, TV, radio, everything. Talking to people, because I'm sure on Monday morning, once
Lost
is aired,
you've seen Lost.
People are going to be talking about it like crazy, and I cannot have that ending spoiled, because if it does, I think I might just die instantly. So, please.
Oh, my God.
I hope that
that's
doesn't
dramatic.
Happen. So, I'm pretty bummed about that. But, yeah.
Avoid
anyway,
everyone.
That's what's new with me. Haha, pretty boring, huh? Anyway, good luck on your next episode, and I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Sean.
Spoiler alert, Sean. The smoke monster did it. The smoke monster did it.
Definitely, Sean, stick with The Gunslinger. I know it can be a hard book to get through, but it's definitely rewarding, I think.
Well, I think it's because everything is so new language,
right.
New everything.
I envy you. At least, I can't remember what chapter is when he goes to the town, the story of the town. Is that in the first one? Once you get through that, you're home free, baby.
Yeah, that's in the first one.
And I really hope people don't spoil the ending of Lost to anyone. Like, sometimes I do that. If I haven't watched Lost yet, I'll stay off Twitter.
You can hope all you want, but it's going to happen.
Right.
There are just so many assholes out there.
Yeah, and you know what? If I don't get to watch the finale, like, Sunday until late at night, sometimes I wait till, you know, my daughter's in bed so I can watch it without any interruptions or whatever. I'm not going to, like, look at, like, 10 o'clock and somebody will go, oh, whatever. You know, they'll just kind of mumble something or say anything. Because, really, you want to be surprised by everything. At least I do. I like being hit over the head with, like, huh? Like, I didn't see that shit coming. You know, what would it have been like if somebody – just think about some kind of revelation in some kind of movie you've seen or a TV show where it just kind of, like, floored you. Like the season finale of Dexter last season. If somebody told you beforehand, it doesn't give you the same kind of shocking blow that it should. And you don't want to ruin that for somebody. But also there's the other thing where somebody will go, oh, it was lame. All it was this. And it's just like, oh, you son of a bitch. You know, let me decide if it's lame or not. You know,
I would have been really disappointed if somebody would have said that at the end of 2012, the world falls apart.
Yeah. Or John Cusack is the savior of mankind or anything.
Or they make it onto the special arcs in the Himalayas.
I
that
can't wait to
really
see this movie.
It. God, it's horrible.
Yeah, I honestly have no desire to ever see it. But yes.
I'm glad John Cusack's getting paid, but holy shit, man.
I'm excited about the Lost finale, Bill. I know it's like,
very excited. I'm beside myself with excitement. There's another copy of me right beside myself, all excited.
I'm also excited for Fringe, the Fringe finale, and we'll talk about that later.
Oh, holy shit, man. I am so pumped for that. I was watching the episode this week just like...
So needless to say, it's exciting. It. Yeah, it is awesome. Now, guys, we got one more voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
G'day, Nowhere Mulberry. It's Rick.
Ooh, soothing.
It's got the sexy, but
it's not
voice.
That exciting anymore, is it? Because I send one every week. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
it's Rick again. Anyway, it was my brother's 30th birthday the other day, and we went to Blockbuster so he could go get a free movie, because on your birthday, you get a free movie. And we're walking around for about 15 minutes, passing up Avatar and other movies, which are good movies. And he settles for, ba-ba-ba-bum, It's Complicated.
Oh, no.
With Alec Baldwin, Meryl Streep, and Steve Martin. Yeah.
You sure he wasn't turning 60?
That's what he settled for on his 30th birthday. Now, I know what you're thinking. He's gay. No, he's not. But he wanted to pick a crappy movie we can make fun of. And surprise, surprise, I had a shit ton of fun. Yes, I did.
No.
I was quite drunk at the time, and I was with friends and family, and we're all having a good time, which kind of added to the enjoyment of the movie. But there is a scene in this movie. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. There is one scene between Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep, which is worth sitting through this whole movie just for this moment. And it shocked me. I haven't seen anything like this, especially from people that are... Anyway, it was a shocking scene. And I was like, oh my God, did that just happen? Yes, it just happened. And I just think you have to watch this movie now. Yeah, hilarious.
She gives Alec Baldwin a Cleveland steamer.
I don't know if it was because I was wasted or if actually, I'll probably watch it again one day and go, what the hell was I smoking? But just for that one scene, you have to watch it. It's just shocking and appalling and just really sexy. No, no, I'm just kidding. But watch it. It's a crack up. But get drunk, please. Otherwise, you'll think I'm really into bad. So it doesn't matter. Watch it. I don't care. Great show last week, guys. I'll talk to you later. It's complicated. Yeah, whatever, Rick. You've already mentioned it. Move on. Bye.
What was that sound? Okay, well, thanks, Rick. We'll be sure and check that out. All right, guys, let's do entertainment. All right, the new Robin Hood comes out today, Bill. Are you going to go check it out?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Very amusing. The buzz on it hasn't exactly been buzztastic.
Is it about, what would you say, hit or miss? A big meh?
Yeah, I think that's the general review. In fact, I'm going to look up Rotten Tomatoes right now, and I bet the one-word review for it's going to be meh.
I can speak with an English accent.
Oh, you know, Harry Knowles, Bill, he did not like it.
Oh, no, that's bad
news.
They
didn't stick with the spirit of Robin Hood for him, man. Russell
Crowe. Well, you know what's funny about that whole English accent thing is I was looking at the news getting ready for the show, and I guess some asshole interviewer in the UK asked Russell Crowe what accent he was going for exactly in the movie because he thought it sounded Irish. And Russell Crowe gets all pissed off and goes, well, you've got dead ears, mate, because that wasn't Irish. And, I mean, it just sounded – he got really pissed off to the point where the review was completely thrown under the bus and Russell Crowe just basically got up and left.
Nice.
He was so offended that this guy thought he was doing an Irish accent.
Wow.
All right. There you go. 46% rotten.
Interesting.
Got 86 rotten reviews,
72 points. Oh, okay. Well, I'll check it out on Blu-ray. Woohoo! What do you say, guys? We get into what's on our TV? Might as well roll on. Neither one of us has seen it.
I was saying, is there anything else coming out?
No.
Not this weekend, no. Yeah. Next weekend's the...
Shrek!
Yeah. Next weekend's the big weekend with MacGruber and all those.
Oh, hell yeah. Huge MacGruber opening.
Yeah, the huge MacGruber opening. Yeah, I don't particularly think that looks dirty. Very good.
A huge MacGruber? Is that like a Cleveland
huge
steamer,
MacGruber
Bill?
Opening.
It's like a dingleberry.
Oh.
A huge MacGruber. You know, you go, oh, I've got a huge MacGruber on my ass.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Hey, Green Arrow! Ridley Scott doing Robin Hood with Russell Crowe? That sounds pretty cool. It sounds like, man, that should be badass. And the fact
how
that
much you want to bet, just like Andy mentioned Kingdom of Heaven, there's going to be a Robin Hood extended cut.
Right.
That's going to be a million times better than the theatrical cut.
Yeah, I'll check that version out.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait for that version.
All right, enough said. Everybody, let's check out what's on our TiVo, Steven. What's on your TiVo? Huh?
What you got on there?
Did you guys check out Celebrity Apprentice? Where they decorated apartments for rich clientele, like a businessman. He goes into New York. He's going to spend a week there. And they make a nice, comfortable apartment that's already furnished.
Yeah. The first was a really huge task.
Yeah. You know what's funny is the first thing Trump did is he took Brett off the Sharon and Maria's team and put that Curtis guy because they said how much they hated him.
Yeah.
And, of course, they don't hate him at all. They were just playing it up. But the best part, I thought, was when Cindy kind of goes nuts and starts accusing the guys who were volunteering to help of stealing her couch or whatever. I thought that was pretty genius. And, of course, later Holly uses that to throw her under the bus. Let's check it out.
Something's gone. That ottoman, it was right here yesterday. Listen, who was here watching all this stuff? It was here and it's gone. So should I just call Frank and say it was stolen because it's not here anymore?
Let's keep unloading stuff and I bet we'll find it.
No, it was here. I put it right here.
No, I'm sure we'll find it. Nobody stole it, Sam.
Relax. Don't yell at people.
This ottoman that was this long, I signed, he personally gave it to me. It was taken.
Don't yell at him.
Go easy, Cindy. Take it easy. Don't yell.
And it was right across here, and it's not here anymore.
Tell her that we'll find it. Tell her to relax.
Cindy?
What has typically happened, Brett, is that she turns people against us.
I get it.
We need these workers. Cindy can go from being a sweet loving sin and just so sweet, and then in a moment's notice, she'll turn and snap on you.
Look this way. Wait, that's ugly. Stop. No. Leave it on the floor.
Okay, Cindy, please don't talk disrespectfully to these guys who are working their ass off for us, okay? Please. Please. I'm trying to win this thing. This is the first task that I felt really connected with Cindy. But in the end, Cindy can really cost you. She's sort of a loose cannon, and managing Cindy takes energy and time.
I now completely understand your world.
Remember that in the boardroom.
Brett, let me ask you this. Do you have the same energy that these two have?
Both of them have a lot of energy.
Same
I feel
energy.
I have just as much energy.
Same aura.
I feel that my place sometimes when they're having this discussion is not for me to butt in.
But it is.
Do you have an arc reactor for a heart, Brett?
Who should I fire? And you say,
is there a
I love
new
Holly
element
so much.
In it?
I love Cindy so much. They're so great. They're so wonderful. It's like,
Brett?
I was just
who should I fire?
Oh, wait. Is he okay yet? I'm not going to make fun of him until his health is okay.
Where do you get your cholo bandana, Brett?
My time management skills are not great, and I think I'm bad, and I think that she's worse, but she's very
good. Oh, he's like, I'm bad, but she's a little
worse. Holly did a better job of managing her time.
In all fairness, Cindy, this is not the first time that this has come up.
Okay, you know,
why
there's parts where
it was Holly's idea.
They ADR Trump big time.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the things that the executives
liked. They used
that
wide shot from the back.
Yes, ADR. He's not saying anything.
I wouldn't throw her under the bus.
You were very truthful, and I respect your truthfulness. You didn't have to bring it up. That wouldn't be untruthful. Why did you bring up the fact that it was Holly's idea?
Because it was true.
Okay, Cindy, you're fired.
Oh.
Cindy, I don't want to leave like this.
I'm leaving.
I know.
It's like high school, Brett.
But
it's
not,
like
not
high
personal.
School.
I hope you have an aneurysm, Brett.
Oh, my God. I knew it. She's a witch.
Really
she has powers.
And that's
all right.
I personally thought we...
I'll see
you. All right. And she walks up. You know what was funny is they didn't like anything about the apartment Holly did because it was all Buddhist shit, like a big Buddha. But they liked the room that Cindy decorated.
That Eastern spiritual decoration
right?
shit.
It's like a businessman. He doesn't want to see that shit with wicker everywhere. He wants to sit down and watch a 65-inch HDTV, right?
Yeah, so, I want to have some big fat Asian dude sitting in the middle of my living room.
They really liked the room that Cindy decorated. And so she was pretty much safe. Until she goes, well, Holly, she wanted it red, so I did it red. And he's like, oh, wait, Holly did that? But Holly
that's
did.
That's what they liked most about it, the red.
So you're fired, Cindy. It was just silly. And, you know, the next week they're going to do the thing where they have the previous Celebrity Apprentices on and get rid of, like, a couple of people really fast.
Yeah.
It's going to be Sharon and Holly. That's what I think.
Well, I think they get rid of three.
Right.
Because there's five left, and they do it down to two.
They'll get rid of Brett, Maria, and Curtis. I'll be shocked if it's not Sharon and Holly. The reason Holly is good is because no one likes her. You got to always have that person that no one really likes who's tough. And then Sharon, who's likable, you know, I guess. But she says it how it is. You know what I mean? So they'll do that. Let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. We're going to take a break pretty soon. You hanging in there, Steven? Doing all right?
I'm good.
All right, Kitchen Nightmares. So it was a nice...
You need an ammonia inhalant form.
Yeah. Here. Wave it under you.
It was late night last night.
Come on, Steven.
I'm teasing. I loved that. It was a late night last night.
That was bull. Cindy. Okay. Kitchen Nightmares was a nice Dutch place, right? Huh?
Yes. The Fleming.
Fleming.
Because there's no other place I would rather eat than Fleming.
Why was it spelled with a PH, too? Just gross.
And Fleming. And the logo's this big green yellow blob.
It's like, what are you doing? It doesn't make me want to eat here.
It's just a smile and a thumbs up.
No, I made a little kind of clip here. First is when Gordon shows up to the place and he talks Dutch to them.
And that was so forced, but hilarious.
And then when he says, is somebody here colorblind? Because everything's pink and white. And the guy's like, oh, I am. And then when he goes into the walk-in and there's like thawing meat with a cooked duck sitting in it.
That made me want to puke.
That was shit was nasty.
Because it looked like the beef had thawed to the point where they use that salted water preservative with it, so it mixes with the blood, and then it coagulated.
That's so nasty!
Oh,
and of course, we have a clip here of Gordon. He wants to shut the place down. Let's check this out.
He never does that.
Welcome to Fleming.
Gordon, please, and your first name is?
Suzanne,
and?
I'm Andy.
Andy, good to see you. You're the owners?
Yes.
Okay, great. Vorden Erdu.
I'm sorry. No Danish here.
It's a Danish restaurant.
The Danes have left the building.
Close enough.
The chef's Danish.
No.
He's Cuban. Is
Cuban. Cuban. And the name Fleming's, what it means?
Fleming was the original owner of the restaurant.
And
he is Danish.
So, I'm trying to get my head around this. Danish name. What's Danish in the restaurant?
There's still some influence in the food.
And Danish,
we kept everything almost identical.
Ooh, what's going on with the color? Somebody colorblind?
Yeah, actually, I am.
Well, you look very well coordinated in terms of dress sense.
I get a lot of help.
Right, where shall I sit?
I'll take you in.
Andy, Suzanne, come in here.
Oh, God.
Orlando, I know you're busy there, big boy. I just need you for 30 seconds, please. Yeah, I'll be quick. Come with me. So this is for raw meat, yes? And here we've got some...
What the... Is that?
Oh my god.
No, come on.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, what is it?
One duck
somebody
on a tray
vomited and then they all started
was
vomiting.
And the duck was in the meat juice.
Duck and defrosting meat. Look at it there. So who put the duck there then? We've been selling duck. Stop the kitchen, everybody! I need all the ducks off the table and stop them eating it.
They have discontinued the duck.
No, just for this evening? No duck.
But table 61 had duck.
Is that the duck? I'm so sorry. I'll explain in 2 seconds.
You're going to die tonight.
To have Chef Ramsay literally take the duck from in front of the gentleman
Here's
and
a charcoal
tell everybody
bread.
No duck.
Have you served anybody duck?
For you, I mean, you get free eight. Dinner.
Stop! We're not serving none of duck out there. If I was a health inspector now, what would you do?
You would take that product and probably throw it out.
Throw it out? You would continue serving one more plate of food. What do you think we're going to do? Continue cooking?
I don't believe that the food that's out here now is contaminated in any
way.
You
don't believe?
I never have seen that before. If I did, I would have a fit. But I was surprised that Andy wasn't aware of that. I think he's had his head buried in the sand for the last 7 years.
You cook one more thing.
It's like
I'm
an ancient ostrich.
Chef Ramsay is frustrated by Andy's laid-back attitude.
Oh, thank you, narrator. Really? Thanks.
You know, at times I thought the guy, that Andy, sounded exactly like Alan Alda.
Yeah, like, he did.
Like, wait a second. Is that Alan Alda in the kitchen?
I like that. He's like, well, you know, I'd probably just throw it out. And I just love that the narrator, after all of that, he kicks in with his little message to the audience, you know.
Chef Ramsay is frustrated by Andy's laid-back attitude.
Oh, okay, thanks.
They think the people watching are complete morons,
that's
so they have to dictate
everything. That's what's going on. That's why he's yelling at him.
I don't see nothing wrong with the way they were storing that.
It's like, no, they would normally have like those lost pop-ups at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm out of it.
Gordon Ramsay is
Ramsay's
not American.
British.
Yeah.
That's why he talks funny.
He's a chef. That's why he's wearing a chef's jacket. Oh, this is a restaurant where patrons pay
Ramsay
for food.
Gordon Ramsay is angry. That's why his face is red.
This is a restaurant.
Anger is an emotion
People
felt by human
eat.
Beings. Oh, okay. It's like, wow, they're really spelling everything out. Now, okay, we're going to quickly do Top Chef Masters and then take a break. Might as well get these cooking shows out of the way,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Top Chef Masters is one of those episodes where they cook a lot of gross stuff that I would never have the balls to eat. And the reason I mentioned balls for a reason.
I don't think you need to have balls to eat it. I just think that it's just so bizarre to everyone else.
I don't want to eat a kangaroo because they're cute to box and stuff, and they hop around and they carry their babies.
Cute to box. They beat the shit out of a kangaroo.
They hop up and down, and they carry a little Joey in a pocket in the front of their bellies. It's cool. Why would I want to be like? Do you tell me some Australian saw them bouncing around? It's like, I'd like to eat one of those. I'd like to eat that. Well, what's wrong on kangaroos?
Have it with some strawberries.
Strawberries. I can't do it. I got to hear it for strawberries. But, I mean, seriously, why the hell would you eat? Okay, I can understand, like, you're from a certain part of the world where they eat squid, right? I mean, you could eat squid here, too. But, I mean, it's usually, good. Where is it, like, in China or something? A lot of people
I
eat it.
I love calamari. I love,
I've eaten fried calamari before, but I'm talking about when you see the friggin' tentacles.
You mean the entire thing?
Yes.
And it's all together. Tentacles still hooked to it.
Yeah, I don't want to eat that shit. Like,
well, and that was a giant squid. That sucker is complete. It's a whole nother ball game compared to what we would normally eat when, like, fried calamari.
Right, do you want the
you
beak
the,
on your plate?
The cuttlefish that they did?
No, they had a squid there.
No, they had a squid. It was an enormous squid. It just was nasty looking.
Yeah, that shit was pretty gross. But anyway, let's play this
really
clip here.
Thick. When that Seusser was cutting it, it was like super thick and nasty looking.
And then the thing that kind of sucked is that our favorite chef, Jonathan Waxman, it was like telling him he needed to make a meal with Minox or something. He just had no idea. He's like, why the hell would he
want to make a womp rat?
Yeah. I don't want to make a womp rat stew. What the hell?
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
All right. We're past your show, Sharon, all right? But also, during Jonathan Waxman fretting over all this is Seusser, who has another great story to tell us. Remember last week it was about how he wouldn't marry his girlfriend who fathered or mothered his children, gave birth to his children. And this week he has another great story. It has something to do with testicles, Stephen.
Okay.
Sold on
sold.
That story? Let's check that out.
Your challenge is to make a delectable dish with exotic proteins from land and sea. There are two portions of each protein for you to choose from. For sir, we have gooey duck, monkfish liver, sea cucumber, and jumbo squid.
Ooh.
For turf, we have goat leg, duck tongue, black chicken, and kangaroo. Rick, since you won the quickfire, you'll be choosing first. The rest of you, please turn around and grab a pot to see which order you'll be choosing in.
Jumbo squid, please, and the duck tongue. I'm the grilled chicken and french fry guy, you know? That's who I am. I'm not the guy who knows how to pull from a million cultures and put them on a plate. So, basically, I'm screwed.
When I was back in Hong Kong, my sister took me to a fire pot where you cook for yourself. And then she put something under boiling in the pot. Oh, you should have that. I bit into the sun. It burst out into tiny, 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 tiny little eggs. I said, what the hell was that? Oh, it was a chicken testicle. It was very good, actually.
I have no strategy whatsoever. I don't have a clue in my head.
They love playing this music.
Nothing's speaking to me. I just walk around and pick some things that look good. I'm all foggy. And that's a bad thing for a chef to be in a fog. Hey. That one knows around a little bit more, so if I forgot anything. This challenge is not my cup of tea. I've never cooked a duck tongue in my life. It looks like a duck penis. So I don't know what the hell am I going to do this thing. Yikes. I fry up the duck tongues and it tastes like teeny tiny little mini fried chickens. So I think that part of the dish will be okay. I could probably make anything taste good. I could make dog taste good. But I want to love what I'm going to cook. And I'm not loving this.
Yeah, poor guy. And, you know, his plate at the end was just filled with food, wasn't it?
It was like I think somebody said it was like somebody gave a plate to a teenager at a buffet.
Right.
It was like piled. There was rows of garbage on it.
This was one of those episodes. It doesn't usually bother me at all, Bill. They do the thing where the judges sit around, they eat. But they sounded so kind of pompous to me.
Pompous and condescending?
Yeah. Like, the flavor, there's kind of like an aftertaste. It's not pleasant. You know, just stuff like that. Well, it's just like, oh.
I enjoy watching that Andrew Zimmern's show, that Bizarre Foods, Bizarre World.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he can come across condescending.
Yeah.
And he did in this. And I think the other ones kind of like wanted to outdo him, like, well,
yeah,
he may eat bizarre things, but we are food critics, and
right,
we can eat anything.
He
did, you know,
it came off a little douchey to me, I thought.
Yeah, everyone was a little douchey.
Right.
But at least I was glad that Waxman didn't get kicked off for that, because
yeah, I like the very skin of his teeth.
Yes, so hopefully I'm glad he's around to play another day, as they say, Steven. Good times. All right, that means it's time for a break when I have nothing left to say. Let's check it out. Break time. I got nothing, Steven. Really.
Let's just go.
Let's just get out of here.
Hey, put Steven out in the cold air. Get him to wake up.
All right, Bill, we'll see you here in a few.
I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
I got Donkey Kong, and now I'll get you too, Junior.
I'm Donkey Kong Jr., and that's my papa. I'm trying to save him, and boy, do I need your help.
Nintendo's Donkey Kong Jr., the arcade game, is now the Super Bowl video game.
Save your papa, huh? Save yourself first!
He's chasing me with snapping jaws, and I could fall.
Help Donkey Kong Jr. save his papa on your ColecoVision, Atari 2600 VCS, or Intellivision video game system.
Game players everywhere, please help me save my papa.
Dear Big Big Teeth, my dream is to eat a little Steven's Big Big Teeth with you. Dear little Caesar.
Wrong kid, I'm George Barnes.
Oh.
Let's eat.
Okay.
It's the biggest pizza in the history of the world. 24 slices of cheese and pepperoni pizza. All for $8.88.
Eat the pizza.
Catch that Pepsi spirit. Catch that Pepsi spirit.
Catch that Pepsi spirit. Catch that Pepsi spirit.
He's learning spelling with Texas Instruments Speak and Spell.
Spell rain. R-A-I-N. That is correct.
She's teaching her brother with Speak and Spell.
H-E-R. That is right.
They're learning new words with Speak and Spell. But don't tell them they're learning. They just think they're having fun. Speak and Spell for words. Speak and Read for stories. Speak and Math for numbers. From Texas Instruments, they make learning fun.
Here comes the GoBot Command Center.
Your parents put it together.
Whoa!
You can change it to a land walker and a mighty fortress. 9-volt battery not included. GoBot sold separately.
Enemy GoBot controlled by the captain. Now to cast your master controls. Leader one, try and conquer the world now. You are grounded, Coptor.
The Gobot Command Center. Leader One and Coptor each sold separately. New from Tonka.
You expect a hemorrhoid medicine to relieve pain and itch, but you get an extra therapeutic action with Preparation H. It helps speed relief to inflamed hemorrhoidal tissue with oxygen action. A special medicine in Preparation H accelerates the absorption of pure oxygen to help shrink swelling of inflamed hemorrhoidal tissue fast. And of course, Preparation H often relieves pain and itch for hours. When you choose a hemorrhoid medicine, remember, oxygen action is special with Preparation H.
Are you ready to take on the champ?
My mind is ready, Linus, but my body's not.
You're just tired because you didn't have a good breakfast like I did. A Cheerios breakfast.
When you fuel up with a nutritious breakfast like this one with tasty low-sugar Cheerios, those will help keep you on your toes.
Champ.
You're on your toes.
With
the trouble with having fruit and cereal is you run out of fruit and are left with just cereal. But that won't happen with Post Raisin Bran, the fruit and cereal lover cereal. Because Post packs three packs of plump, sweet raisins into every box and combines them with the crispiest bran flakes. So you can get raisins in every spoonful. With Post, you won't run out of fruit. And that's very special. Post Raisin Bran, the food and cereal lover cereal.
You may enter a galaxy far, far away.
R2-D2.
With all your favorite Star Wars heroes. In all your favorite flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, and peanut butter. Star Wars cookies from Pepperidge Farm. The new taste in space.
Chris is my very best friend in the whole world. We're exactly alike. We both have trouble with math.
What's the square root of 164?
We both love horses. And we both hate our hair.
Yeah.
We even like the same guy, and then we found out he likes Marsha Wilk.
Marsha Wilk?
No two are closer than you. She shares all that you do. A best friend, someone to care. Someone who'll always be there. Everything is more fun when it's done with someone. We got a place to get away when you deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Best thing about Chrissy is she's my best friend.
Here's to the two of you.
You are playing with power.
Punch out by Nintendo. The 11 world-class contenders. Take them down with your controller, beat them all, and you've got a shot at Tyson's title.
Power!
But for that, you've got to beat Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power.
SpaghettiOs presents Mr. O and his lunchtime show.
Today, Professor Popple has cooked up some nutritious dishes.
Protein is important to children, so ta-da! Protein Power Punch! And for iron, my steam iron stew.
Well, what do kids like at noon?
Meat round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs!
And SpaghettiOs with meatballs are more than just delicious, they're nutritious.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs!
Yikes, definitely put the bunny back in the box. You know, Bill, before we talk about 24 and the gravitas that's going on there, do we know for sure that Heroes has been canceled?
Yes, we do.
We're free! We're free! I feel like the smoke monster just got off the island! We're free! All the candidates are dead, Bill!
Done.
Joy.
They won't finish any storyline or anything.
Hero, no more bad pop culture references. No more Mohinder. No more Peter Petrelli asking why. No more, what was that guy's name? No more Siler? I couldn't remember. No more Siler doing his eyebrow and is he good or bad? No more Claire getting mad at her dad every episode. It's gone! It's gone forever! We never have to hear about it again! We're free!
NBC actually makes a wise decision for once.
I'm honestly surprised they were like, we'll give you one more.
We're going to let you finish this storyline.
Yeah.
They were going to, but I guess they have too many new shows that they're bringing on to make, you know, space for a miniseries for Heroes.
Right.
I have had just about enough of your nonsense.
I mean, that may be good news, but I think the bad news is that in canceling Heroes, they also decided to cancel Mercy and Trauma.
Right.
Which both were very enjoyable shows.
I really like Mercy. It was like my guilty pleasure, and then it turned into a better show, and it found its legs, and now it's just gone, just like that.
Give it up, man.
And I definitely had a thing for the girl on it that played Veronica.
I know. I was into the show. I watch it every week, and I've got the finale. I haven't watched it yet. Now when I watch the finale, it'll be kind of with a sense of sadness as I watch
it. Yeah, like, oh, well, I guess that's where it ends.
Yeah, that blows when that happens.
Well, maybe TNT will go, hey, there's an audience for this. Let's pick it up, too.
That would be cool. It was a good show, and they air it at Wednesdays, like the first show in primetime, like 7 o'clock here. And I don't know if, like, people are ready to watch a medical drama at that time.
Yeah, maybe 10 o'clock would
Why not
better.
Put it on Thursdays in the slot that goddamn marriage ref show is?
Oh, my God. I tried to watch that the other night, and I saw the opening, and I was like, okay, so they have the black guy from Hot Tub Time Machine in the office, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out. And then the moment they go, and Tom Pappas.
Well, another thing is the show is cheap as hell to produce. It's just, you know, cheap ass.
I just can't stand the guy that hosts it.
Dude, I just see the promos,
smarmy,
Bill.
Annoying quality about
on
him.
The promos to that show, it just shows him, like, laughing his ass off. Like,
yeah. Oh,
I'm like,
you're
no.
You're so funny. I'm hilarious. This show's funny. Wonderful.
It's like, I want to see a friggin' sniper bullet go through his skull, and that would be entertaining. I'd tune in for that shit.
I absolutely would.
Now, guys, let's talk about 24. This episode of 24, I mean, I've seen a lot of shit on TV and in movies, okay? It's very rare that I'm like, holy shit! I mean, come on! Like, when I'm watching something where it's gratuitous violence, where I'm like, damn! Because there's a part in here where Jack gets to torture the guy that killed Renee, and he Fs that guy up. Does he not, Bill?
I loved that before the show comes back, they had to throw up the warning. Like,
yeah.
The following contains gratuitous violence, and
you will
it
be
will
scarred
shock
forever.
The shit out of you.
After you view this, you will never be the same. Parental discretion is advised.
The gravitas will be brought.
Hey, everybody, get in here. This is going to be some sick shit. But also, we have President Logan. I don't know why I said it like that.
Logan. Runner.
Michael York. We have President Logan, and he's kind of worried because Jack has acquired this evidence that, remember, Starbuck had. He killed her at the end of the last episode, which is awesome. And now he's... Well, I did love it. It was very Bourne Identity-ish, wasn't it? How he easily captured the guy and then took out the agents. I love that, by the way, too. He even shot this chick who was like, she had her gun. He's like, and blows her away. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I kill women too regularly.
No Jack problem. Bauer is back. But I love this part here where his assistant, Jason, calls in, and this is right after he's going, Mrs. President, whatever the hell you call her. He's like, when are you going to give me some props for what I've done to the press so they know that I'm a great guy? She's like, you know what? In 20 minutes, I'll go ahead and issue that you're involved, okay? And she leaves. So this guy calls up and he's like, everything's kind of screwed. It's a big cluster F, but your name's not involved, so it's okay. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then we get into the Jack torture scene, which includes pliers. What else we got here? We got the blowtorch.
Electrodes. Yeah.
What was that shit he was spraying on him? Like salt water or what? There's one part where he squirts stuff on his wounds, and he's like,
yeah, it was something. He sprayed it right into the open wound. So I'm thinking it was like, you know, salt water or lemon juice.
My favorite part in the whole show, though, Bill, is Michael Madsen's like, you going to tell me why everybody's after you? I'm not going to help you anymore till you tell me.
I loved that.
And he's
that
like,
made me giggle.
And he's like, gets all solemn and quiet. He's like, they killed a girl.
They took someone away from me.
Someone who meant a lot to me. And then
let's go get her.
And then Michael Madsen's like, all right, well, what kind of machine guns you want, Jack? He's like, oh, I'm all in after that. That was a good enough explanation.
You want my 12-inch Bowie knife?
I just want him to cut someone's ear off and go, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? All right, guys, let's check this clip out. It's awesome.
Jason, tell me.
Huh?
I'm afraid I have bad news, sir. All of Popple's team is dead, and Bauer has Popple. He was ahead of us from the get-go, sir. He must have anticipated that we'd use Echelon, and he put out a series of keywords knowing the listening stations would pick them up. He played us, sir. He knew we'd use off-book resources to deal with them. He used that journalist to draw them out. Now, sir, I hardly need to tell you that the situation is grave. Popple knows everything. He ran while she set up the Russian ops. If Bauer gets Pavel to talk. But at the moment, sir, you still have complete deniability. President Taylor made all the decisions. I think the time has come for you to distance yourself from this mess. It's regrettable, sir, deeply so, but I believe it's what's best for you.
You... 20 minutes from now, the president's press secretary... is going to make an announcement. She will say, I become part of the president's team, and I have been indispensable in bringing this peace process to a successful close.
Sir, may I say that that is a bad idea? You need to distance yourself.
When you keep using that phrase, what does distance myself mean? Do I just slink away?
This isn't your fault, sir. There were circumstances we couldn't have anticipated, namely Bauer.
Well, then we find Bauer, and we neutralize him. We're public now. Jason?
Huh?
We're committed. And I have worked. We have worked too hard just to throw this all away. Do you understand?
That guy's totally going to get sent back to the attic.
Pavel is a good soldier. He won't talk. Whatever Bauer does to him. I put you in CTU, Jason, for a reason.
I know.
Start talking to me!
Oh, dear.
You want to know I kill your girlfriend? Yeah, I kill her. I kill your bitch! I did it!
Why'd that guy say that?
You gotta stop him. Please.
He needs
like a stuck Irish pig.
I love that. Michael Madsen says no, he's not gonna stop it. He needs answers. Don't get him in the room with Damon Lindelof.
You don't know anything yet.
I want answers! Oh, Jesus. He basically takes pliers and pinches his skin and rips it off, doesn't he, Bill?
All he's doing is tickling him.
Who got the order?
Climb, you little Nancy boy.
Who inside your government wanted Renee Walker dead?
Who lets you
All
the
you gotta do is give me the name.
Oh, shit, he's got the torch.
You people are so stupid.
I thought that was a snake.
Renee Walker was no threat to you. Her work was finished. She was done. We were out. All you had to do was leave us alone.
Blowtorch music.
Why couldn't you just leave us alone?
Jesus!
Jack descending into madness music.
Who gave the order to pull the trigger? Who gave the order? Now!
Get it on my horn!
You're lying. You're nothing. You didn't have the authority.
I want the name.
Shit from a whore.
Give me the name.
My name is Pavel Tokarev.
He waved it down on in his crotch area, I think, didn't he, Bill?
Yes, he did.
Where's the SIM card for your phone?
Uh-oh. Dropped it?
Where's the SIM card? You dumb bastard, you swallowed it. You swallowed it. This is from my friend.
I thought this was a little much, but I wanted from Jaws. I wanted like a license plate to come out and stuff. He's just like pulling everything out of the guy.
There's a boot.
There's a boot in there. Oh, man. That was hardcore. And
I love that once he finally digs it out of the guy's stomach, he's wiping it off.
Yeah. And then
like, I got to wipe this blood off before I put it in the phone.
Yeah, and he sticks it in the phone, and then it says, who called him? Logan.
You've reached the private number for President Charles Logan. Please leave him a message.
And I was like, holy shit, man. I can't wait to see the next episode.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snowing.
No, not that Logan. President Logan.
You know what's so weird is seeing that guy as Logan, and then on The Mentalist, he's the head of the California the Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, he's a nice guy on there. He's a great actor. I really enjoy watching him. He's funny. He's just, like, great as a weaselly dude, you know?
He's incredibly versatile. I mean, you care for him on the one show, and then on this show, it's like, oh, I hope he gets his.
But I love this Jack just tracking dudes down and offing them. I can't wait to see that. And we see in the scenes of next week that he totally tricks everybody and gets a hold of Logan. He's like, oh, what are you going to do to me, Jack?
You know he's going
to
kill him.
It's gonna
he's
be
just
awesome.
Going to leave a trail of bodies, and the show's going to end with Jack going underground from killing so many people.
It's
going
to end with Jack in a jungle, like with all these tribes people, like worshiping him.
Yeah, and they're
going
to be yelling, kill the cockroach.
He's going to be like Colonel Kurtz. He's like going to be. You sent like grocery clerks.
Chanting gravitas.
Gravitas.
This is the end. My only.
All of a sudden, Martin Sheen shows up and is like, dude, he's looking old, but I guess he's there to kill Jack too now. That would be awesome. Now, guys,
it's not going to end good. I mean, the series is just too. He can't get out of it. He's killed
How
so
is
many
he
going to
get a full.
Blood.
Jack, we're giving you a full pardon. It's like, thank you. I knew
you
I was doing the right
us
thing.
Deal with so many people.
I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but I've heard that Kiefer Sutherland has said that they have a script already for a movie. So that ought to be interesting.
That's going
to bomb. That'll be interesting.
I'm telling you right now, I'm predicting it. It'll open.
They
like
need to get somebody
$15 million.
Like, they need to get Paul Greengrass. He's like, you know, the Steves give me a hard time with their Bourne identity. How about we do Jack Bauer?
I don't
Bauer
like
movies?
His shaky cam. It makes me nauseous.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. We need somebody who holds the camera still. You know, that's why he.
How do we get Tony Scott?
Did you know that's why he quit the Bourne series? They were going to make it, and the studio was like, "Could you hold the camera still?" And he's like, I'm out of here. I can't work with you people.
Kiss my pale Irish ass. Yeah.
Hold the camera still, and you can make your little movie. And he's like, no, I'm out. All right, guys.
Yeah, let's went on to make Green Zone, which was fabulous, I thought.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I'd like to check it out. Let's talk about Smallville. Smallville was lame.
Smallville brings the faux gravitas.
Okay, you're telling me, Stephen, that his senator mom, by the way, she's been reelected, I guess, several times, I guess.
And she's also aged by 20 years.
I know. What was that about?
What the hell happened to her?
She hasn't been gone that long.
She's been gone, what, two, three seasons?
Like, apparently she's in her 80s now.
Yeah,
and
she went from 50 to 80.
How shocking was it when you find out she's the Red Queen?
Oh, that was so shocking. I barely had enough effort.
I love when the car stops. Clark is like, let's see who you are. He rips the door off like Tess, and all of a sudden a hand just comes out with the kryptonite rock. He's like, oh, I'm going to go drive off.
Oh, damn, stumped again.
But the best part here is when, at the beginning of the episode, Chloe's trying to put Watchtower back together, and she mentions Donkey Kong. So I was like, that's a clip. Let's check it out.
Like Donkey Kong.
The book of Route isn't here. I know you just came across that footage, but there's got to be something more on it.
I'm looking at it now, Clark. Jor-El put it in the north wall. I wish I could give you more, but thanks to Tessa's little break-in, Watchtower can barely run a game of Donkey Kong, let alone an image enhancement program.
Chloe, if that book really holds unlimited power, then we need to find it.
You know, Clark, this could explain why our favorite alien nation has gone AWOL. I mean, maybe Zod and the Kandorians are trying to track down the Holy Rao Grail before we do.
I heard they're all stealing soured milk.
How many pages of dialogue was that? I mean, good Lord.
It's such Donkey bullshit. You've got to look at those pages and go, Jesus Christ, what are you telling us to say?
I wonder if that actress has, like, some kind of, like, memory pills she takes and stuff. Or
yeah,
they just
she takes ginkgo biloba.
I take lots of shitload of ginkgo before this.
You know something? You suck.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, but I think that system could run MAME perfectly in a ROM of Donkey Kong.
I know.
I don't think there would be
any
problem
crap.
With that.
You could work Donkey Kong in there. Mm-hmm. Come on.
It would have been better if they would have said something like Red Baron or Tempest.
Is it sad, though, Bill, that I'm watching that scene and when she mentions Donkey Kong, it pulls me right out of the show? Donkey Kong. She just said Donkey Kong.
Like, she wasn't even old enough to play Donkey Kong.
It's on like Donkey Kong, right?
Why is it that anytime I hear Donkey Kong, I think it's on like Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong sucks.
Hey,
it does
not.
You suck.
You know something? You suck.
So, I don't even remember. Smallville, blah, blah, blah. You know what the funniest thing about this episode, though, where I laughed out loud, is when all of a sudden Gil Bellows is on the episode, and he's like this psychic guy or whatever. He can go into her brain, create a false reality. But it was funny. He goes, boop, 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 boop. He goes, yeah, you're right. It failed. He goes, bzz, bzz, bzz. He's like, oh, he instantly dies. It's like, dude, maybe you shouldn't have phoned in that you failed. What kind of business? And let me ask you this. Are you telling me the Red Queen, Clark's mom, had that guy killed?
She's a murdering bitch.
She's a murderer now, and yeah. She's aged by 80 years? Okay.
It's not her.
I want to see why she aged so quickly and why Clark wasn't affected by it. Like, mom, you've aged. Like,
I want answers.
Yeah.
We're not going to get answers till the final season, though, Bill.
I felt bad for Lenny. Because it was such a piss-poor episode, and that girl that does Lois is such a horrible actress that it was like acting against a brick wall for him.
You know what was funny is he was like, I remember last time you helped me, Clark. I was like, I'm sure I remember the episode. He was on here before.
When was that?
Because remember, he's Perry White.
Yes.
Do you remember that, Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do remember?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember.
No, I remember him being on there. I couldn't tell you what happened. I remember Michael McKean on there, and I just don't remember what happened. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember anything about it. I remember.
I try to forget the episodes after I watch them.
Hello.
Yeah, you don't file that back in the dark gray matter. Like Smallville. I'm gonna have to remember that.
We need to go to Smallvillepedia or whatever it's called. House of Elpedia. All right, guys, let's talk about Fringe, which was awesome.
Tragic that something like that exists.
Now, guys, Fringe. Just the opening of this show, and then the opening titles. I got chills or goosebumps several times during this. The whole opening, and then you see the guy with the weird cancerous... First of all, it's in the other world. And you see Olivia and Charlie's there and some other dude. And I like that they all wear T-shirts and they dress casual action attire, you know? And they even had alternate Astrid. And something about the quarantine, if it goes off, I guess it kills everybody. I wonder what that's all about.
That sounds apocalyptic.
I like when she's like, oh, really? This is happening today? I didn't even fill out my will.
Oh, we're watching Captain Trips today?
Yeah. And so I love when then the camera goes over and Olivia and Walter from our world and two other people are
hiding
and they're there. I love that. And then it goes into the intro and it's the alternate world version of Fringe with the red. So yeah. I guess that means there's a show in the other world. That's pretty much what that's telling me, right? There's a fringe. And, you know, did you guys love the – I didn't see many of them. Maybe we'll see it in the next episode. But I did see the sign that said West Wing Season 11.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I know that there's supposed to be more stuff in the next episode. That's cool when they slip stuff like that. And we were talking about earlier, Bill, that the Statue of Liberty is like really shiny and gorgeous looking. And that means that whatever technology they have, they can keep it from corroding is what we were thinking of. Because, you know, they mentioned nanites because basically we'll set this up here that they know that Peter's in the other world and Walter remembers that the Observer told him that he can never go back there or it'll cause the destruction of everything. Mm-hmm. So as they're figuring that out, they need to go back. They need somehow send Olivia there and get Peter, and this moment happens where they go to Massive Dynamics and demand to be told
about a piece of equipment.
Yeah, they want to be sent over there.
The thing is, to get over there, that's really a misnomer. In truth, the two universes are overlapping. And to get to the other side, our universe needs to pass through you. Literally, like water passing through a cheesecloth. Our cells need to separate on an atomic level. The problem is, when they come back together, they don't come back together with the same cohesion. Somehow, Bell managed to cross back and forth. Although, precisely how, we can find no record. But I suspect that whatever methodology, he crossed so many times that he's become like this coffee cup, molecularly unstable.
As many atoms in each of us as there are stars in the sky. That's why Billy never came back, isn't it? Because he was scared that the same thing would happen to him.
I don't know.
Last time I opened a door, it set in motion ripples that weaken the very fabric of our reality. To do so again could instantly shatter both worlds. Likely would.
Now, unlike William, you have the ability to cross over safely.
I can't. I can't control it. I flashed over for a few seconds, or Bell's pulled me over, but I can't control it. Not on my own.
Not on your own. If there were two or three of you, a larger power supply, as it were.
I'm not following.
With more Cortexavan children, their collective psychic energy could... You know, Billy and I always agreed that that primal part of the brain which allows us to cross universes is also responsible for a host of paranormal activities. Parakinesis, telepathy, thought control... We all had these abilities until there was a moment in history when something was done to us and it was shut down. I suspect aliens.
I love that. I just laughed when he said, I suspect aliens. And they don't even, they're just stone-faced when he says that. And I love...
They've already dealt with so much bizarre shit. Yeah, why not? Like,
man, I'll buy it. And another thing is, I love that they reintroduced the characters from previous episodes. I thought the guy was dead, by the way, the guy who could influence people with his emotions. For some reason, I thought he died, but I guess he didn't. And remember the pyro girl? That was like way in season one. And the cancer guy who was recently. And you know, when those episodes happen, it was like interesting, but you wonder what it has to do with the overall story. And it was great how they brought them back, that they all had abilities together where they could go over. You know
what
I mean?
That was so strange whenever they went to the... what did they call it? The monkey house?
Right.
With all, I was just like, whoa, that is really weird.
And didn't you love when they walk in and they all start laughing because he's influencing, because he's happy to see Olivia?
Yeah.
And even, what's his face? The captain guy?
The captain guy, yeah.
What's the white
guy? Broyles?
Broyles. He's like, It's like, what the hell's going
what
on?
It's maniacal.
Yeah, that was great. And I love when they see Walter, they don't know how to feel about him. The one cancer guy kind of hates him.
Yeah.
Until he explains to him that, you know, it's horrible what we did, but we felt that we needed people like you to guard our world, that something bad was going to happen based on what he did when he got his son from the other world. He caused a chain of events to happen where things are breaking down, I guess, apparently. And that's what we find out in the other world, ever since that happened. I love that scene where the other Walter is talking to the other Olivia and telling her about what happened, that this is man-made. Oh, and we also find out a huge revelation, don't we? That he's the one who wrote that manifesto.
Yeah.
Mm, the ZFT, yeah. And it was published.
Right. It's like a published book there. We just have the manuscript over here. But
He's L. Ron Hubbard.
I'm pretty sure, Bill, that I brought that up on the show before. Maybe it's the alternate Walter that did it. Huh?
Sure you did.
I'll go back in the records.
I'll give you credit for it. You don't have to.
But, I mean, that was awesome that he brings that up. And that's one thing that you could say about Fringe is they're you know, when
freaking awesome.
Do you remember when the season finale happened and they showed the towers, and then in the season premiere they didn't get right to answers there? It made a lot of people mad, but again with the answers, like, just be patient.
What the hell is wrong with people? Why can't they just enjoy something and let it wash over them? Why do they always have to have answers? Why do they got to be assholes?
People are impatient, and we got it all in spades here, I thought. And I love, there were several scenes I love. I love the prayer Walter did with them. And I love the scene where they're like, well, can we have the night to ourselves? And the guy goes to hospitals. He's healing people with
that
his power.
That turned out to be a mistake, though.
Yeah, that turned out not to be a good idea because apparently he didn't need his powers drained.
Yeah, weakened himself.
Because as soon as they go over there, he's like drops and he's like got the cancer spreading all over him. And, you know,
all three of them drain their powers.
And, you know, I'm not always quick
and
or whatever.
And they don't have their powers over, or they have a very diminished.
Well, it's because they were so drained. He was healing people and the other two were having crazy sex.
And another thing, so, did you guys notice that, well, at the beginning of the episode, they find the guy's body and he's like, he's got like, what do they call him? Like cancerous things all over his face. I don't know
lesions.
What
caused,
and I was like, that's very familiar. Who is it? And I was trying to rack my brain, like, when did this happen recently on the show? Mm-hmm. And then when they show the guy, it's like, oh, that's the guy that they find. And unfortunately, when he drops off, I thought that was sad. But didn't you guys love the alternate $20 bill? Was it Martin Luther King?
Yeah, with Martin Luther King, yeah.
And then what is a silver dollar is Nixon, right?
Now, that's scary to think.
Yeah, I believe they showed that before on a previous episode. But I love just the whole idea that they could all together, by spreading their hands out, they could go to the other world, you know, using their abilities. I thought was really cool.
I loved how it happened. I loved that it wasn't like over the top or lots of flashing lights.
It's just
or
like
anything.
A blink and they're there.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's happening!
It's
like, the quickening!
The quickening, yeah.
They had no idea until the dude was like, look up, you know, and you didn't. Yeah. They had no idea there.
Oh, and how great was it that the opera house or whatever they were in was all decrepit and decaying, and Walter was like, reminds me of me, or whatever. And then on the other side, it's like immaculate looking, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, at the beginning of the episode, I love that pull away, and the camera tilts up right through the window in the ceiling. And you see all the airships in the sky, and then you see the towers. Just that whole shot was awesome. And then another thing, Bill, is I saw in the credits that Akiva Goldsman had co-written the episode and he directed the episode. So I was like, I'm going to keep an eye out here for this episode and see what I think.
This guy might have promise.
Because remember, he's related to the now doing the Dark Tower series with Grazer and Ron Howard.
Ronnie Howard.
And I gotta tell you, I was not displeased with this episode. I was pretty giddy about it. From the emotional scenes to the cool action, like Peter seeing his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that
was pretty intense. And the scene where he, you know, she asks about her and he said, well, she killed herself. It's just like,
she was,
wow.
She wasn't a strong person. She was very sad. Yeah. But that whole scene where he just stands there in the kitchen, he's staring at her for a long time. The show is taking the time just to have the scene
still
linger.
Like bacon?
And he walks over. Yeah, she goes, "Do you like bacon?" And he walks over to her and he's like, "I love bacon." And it's just like, that's all he needs to say. And then they embrace. I thought that was great.
That's how I always start off my day. I like, wake up and say, "I love bacon."
If this show was Heroes, it would be, "Do you like bacon?" Not as much as I love you. And it would have been on the line
is,
like that.
What is bacon?
But I love the window with the Cabbage Patch Kids. The girl's like, "I had these when as a kid. Can I get one?" He's like, "I don't think so." She's like, "I think I'm going to stay," because she's so weak. And did you know smoke was coming out of her the whole time?
Yeah, that was really strange. I was like, is it cold or is she actually smoking?
And they need to meet William Bell in the park. And all of everybody has show me cards. Everyone has to show a show me ID. Did you? They called it a show me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I see your show me? And it's like, because everyone has to be identified at all times. So Olivia doesn't have that, so they have to walk.
That's the mark of the beast.
But that scene where I wish I knew their names. The pyro girl who does fire.
Yeah,
and the influence guy, the pusher guy. He.
I see where you're going here.
We've got the fire starter and the pusher, Bill, right?
Yep.
And
the cancer giver.
He basically jumps in the way of the bullet and gets shot, and he's dying. And the guy who shoots him recognizes him.
Yeah.
And that's Thinner.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Yeah. And he, I love that guy's scar, too. It's like the number 2 on his temple.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I thought that was a badass scar, and
I'd like a scar like that.
He's like, I love when he gets shot and he's falling down and he's dying. He goes, "I think I'm going to stay too." You know, he's like, I'm going to stay with you here. And she just vaporizes herself and him and just roasts that guy. And
that was vicious. That was just really intense looking.
The effects there were cool. It's like, and the guy's laying there like, and he's all covered up. And I was like, dude, I would have been saying, shoot. Me,
yeah, but apparently they can just drop him in some Bacta.
Yeah, she's like, he'll be in a nanite tube for months or something like that. And I was like, whoa, nanites, nice. And
Jake,
then that's when we were talking about the Statue of Liberty. Maybe it's so clean because they have this nanite technology cleaning.
Yeah, the nanites
fixing
the corrosion on the copper.
Like that opera house, everything's immaculate, like brand new. They have a way to do that. Maybe,
or they had to create the nanites to keep things from falling apart.
Right, because of the weird thinnies everywhere. Just the terminology. You know, all the time, you know, I talk about the relation to Dark Tower stuff, Bill. With this show, along with Lost, and I almost feel more. Oh, come on, Akiva Goldsman is writing it. The guy wants to write the Dark Tower. I see similarities.
He's been.
It's doorways to other worlds and people with abilities. And I immediately when I saw that Olivia had three others, and the four of them could form a circle, then enter the other world together. And he even talks about the other guy. He mentions fate. Fate is a tricky thing or something like that. Mm. And just, you know, I was kind of relating. And I'm having fun doing that. It's a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the quartet crossed over. And now they have to deal with their car.
And I noticed that the alternate Olivia in her apartment, if you look, there's red roses in all of her pictures.
Oh,
I noticed that.
Man, does she look good with red hair.
Did you like how she's watching herself in the window? It's like, she's got a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend.
Keep watching yourself. This is perverted and hot.
Did you guys think what I was, that maybe this guy, his duplicate in her world, will show up and she'll recognize him? And
you know what was weird is I kept thinking, what if it was...
and they totally don't get along in the other world.
What if it was the guy from the first season of the show?
Right, Keen Eddie.
He's now the human target.
Yeah.
Keen Eddie, yeah.
And you know what I heard? You know, she was married to that guy in real life, Anna Torp, and recently they split up. So I guess it'd be awkward to bring him back to the show and they're getting a divorce.
Yeah, that might be a little weird.
She's like, no, I don't really want that. The one thing is they have this crazy machine, the Walternate, as they say, and he's got the machine and Peter's supposed to what abilities does he have? And I was wondering this, in the other world, and part of him trying to the similarities between both Walters, could it be possible that Peter is an alternate world Cortexafan baby or child?
I don't know, but there was a weird thing going on there with the whole it looked like the containment unit that Mr. Incredible was stuck in the in the Incredibles.
It like holds his feet and his hands or something.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to use him as like an element to bring the worlds together.
And
or
what
something.
About that wicked picture of his face with shit coming out of his eyes or whatever?
Yeah,
like beams.
So it looks like alternate Walter ain't looking to have his Peter's best interest in mind.
But you know one thing,
he's actually going to use him to blend the worlds, like sacrifice him.
The one thing that I was in inspired by the show is they did them crossing over to another world and all this stuff, and it didn't seem cheesy at all. It was all I bought all of it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I even bought that they all wear like black jumpsuits and shit.
I thought that was
awesome.
That was hilarious. I really liked that.
And I love that they all worked for Fringe Division there.
Yeah.
So it was written on the side of
Fringe,
the truck.
Yeah, the whole Fringe Division. And they think the Fringe Division is something else that, you know, they don't really know what it is.
It's like, explain to me what you do, your Fringe Division. He goes, Leno, let me tell you the truth. A long time ago, they crossed over. And you know, Walter, he's telling them...
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
That he's telling them that they're all really bad people. They mean us nothing but harm. They're really horrible people or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. You know?
Now, do you think that is his perverted idea because Peter was taken from
his
him?
Kid, yeah.
Yeah, I really think that swayed his opinion.
So Walter is basically insane in both worlds, except
he did.
In our world, he's pretty much all good.
Yeah,
because he's missing parts of his brain.
And over there, he's got a job where he's got a lot of power to get what he wants, and it's probably not a good thing. And his mother.
So over there, he's more like Denethor,
right? And his two sons. They would have two sons then, wouldn't he?
Yeah, true. Sorry.
No, what? That's fine, Steven. What are you doing? I was just
sleeping. I'm listening to this because y'all are going off on your Dark Tower.
No, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Lord of the
Lord
Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Denethor, yeah. The Steward of Gondor.
Precious. Precious. He was fantastic in that, by the way. Don't you love that actor?
John Noble is just the man. If there were two Johns that are awesome actors right now on television, John Hannah, John Noble.
He's a pimp.
I want to see them both in the same show.
Dude. Oh, and that's another thing we need to mention. I mean, this is off subject, but Spartacus prequel will be coming out in January on Starz because, you know, we know Andy Whitfield is still recovering from his cancer treatment. So they decided to do a Batiatis prequel, Steven, six episodes. So we're going to get more Batiatis drops, and that's all I care about.
I thought it was funny that Steven tonight on Twitter wrote, yes, we're doing a prequel, and yes, more Batiatis and more cursing.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
it was funny. First, his reply, I wrote, by Jupiter's cock, I'm excited. And then I went, oh, I should delete that because it sounds like I'm excited by Jupiter's cock. So,
it's like
so I deleted it.
But anyway, how sad did you feel for that guy who got burnt all over his body?
He was nothing. Shit from a whore.
Oh, jeez. Bonnie, honestly.
Kind of look like that.
He doesn't care at all, does he?
Well, he'll be fixed up right in a few months' time, you know?
Yeah, he'll be all right. How'd you like nanites to fix you?
Perfume.
Yeah, just sitting there and his eyelids burned open.
Yeah, that when you could see like his pupils and the colors of his irises, and it was just like, oh, wow.
That looks painful.
These side events have obviously taken their toll.
I'm just glad I wasn't eating at the time.
I know.
It's like, Jason says, I'm almost always eating when that show is on. And
it happened to me twice. And then I was done.
Yeah.
I I do not eat during Fringe.
Oh, did you like them teasing Charlie about the worms in his body? He's like, they're not worms. They're arachnids. Because remember that episode where he had that shit in his body, but Walter took care of him? I guess nobody took care of him in that world. It really sucks. Charlie's just getting a bum rap in whatever universe he's in.
I feel bad for the actor that he gets killed off and he's kind of pissed off about it. And they're like, oh, come back. And
by the way, you have worms in your body. Oh, and you got to inject yourself from time to time. But I
trust a partner with spiders in him.
I know we're just basically geeking out about this, but I thought it was cool revelation that William Bell is basically unstable where he can't come home.
Yeah.
Because he will.
I thought that was cool whenever he hit the cup in that scene you played.
Yeah.
And it, like, shattered in light.
Does that mean if you punch William Bell, he'll go.
But because he's
automatic
got
de-resolution.
But because he's got way more atoms or, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just crazy shit, yo.
You sound like Jesse Pinkman, yo.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Whoa. Steven just left, Bill. Where the hell did he go?
Well, I knew it was going to happen eventually.
Steven? Oh, hey, where'd you go?
I was at the alternate Mulberry.
Do we have a show over there?
Yeah.
What, is it a little different?
Yeah, we don't cover Fringe.
Well, no. What kind of show?
There's no Fringe?
West Wing Season 11 we're talking about right now?
Yeah, there's no reality TV shows over there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I want to go there.
Why? How could there not be a Fringe?
I suspect aliens.
It is.
Me too. Now, I know we didn't cover all of Fringe. We're just kind of everywhere, but
there's
it was
really
awesome.
Kind of so much. I think the last thing to cover would be that it looks like William Bell's kind of on the run over there.
Yeah, he's definitely in hiding. And everything, the shit hits the fan. Her quartet all gets killed. Walter's been shot and he's disappeared, and Olivia's all alone until William Bell shows up to help her. So I know that scenes to next week look really awesome, and it even has some Olivia on Olivia action.
Oh yeah,
that'll be interesting. I, you know, as actors, that those filming the scenes is just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, you're fighting a stunt double, and you know you got to shoot it twice.
It's
in different
makeup. It's
got to
be hilarious.
I'm sure, it's an incredible pain in the ass.
I love this show. I love Fringe so much.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I'll remember stuff that I forgot and be really angry, but I really love it. But we need to talk about Lost and get the show going, because this Lost was pretty crazy across the sea, because it was all about Jacob and the Man in Black.
I think you summed it up perfectly whenever we were talking later after the episode, and you said it was like a prologue.
Right. This is like sometimes you start a big novel or something, and there's this chapter or this prologue before the story begins. You have no idea what it has to do with anything. Then you start the story, and it's like you forget all about that prologue until you get near the end, and it comes back to that. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what this episode kind of was. It was the island a long time ago. And it's not so much – I didn't feel like it was so much of it is explaining things, just showing us what happened between these people. And we have
– some people may not have thought it did a lot, but I think it was incredibly important for the to wrap up the show this history.
The way Lost is they're not going to have a beginning, middle, and end every time on an episode. Perhaps this is just part of what we're going to see, and we'll find out more about what we witnessed. Because a lot of this was watching something happen and you weren't quite sure what was going on. Am I right? I
mean, and you're still never quite sure what happened.
We have Allison Janney is there on the island where it seems like by herself, and this woman washes up on shore and she gives birth. And she wants to see her children. And I thought, you know, she would hand her the baby and then she'd probably die from complications. But instead, she gets beat over the head with a rock. Just kind of disturbing. And
what, you don't beat the shit out of women that just give birth to twins all the time?
No, not often. Oh. I guess it called for it there on the island because she needed to protect it, right? And you know, a lot of people needed explanations and stuff like that, but here's my take on it. As I think Allison Janney probably had the power of the smoke monster and Jacob combined. She was some kind of protector or self-appointed. I honestly think that whatever powers on the island doesn't tell anyone anything. I think people are corrupted by it and they come up with their own shit. And it almost like Smeagol and Lord of the Rings, they want to kill everyone that gets near it and have it for themselves in a way. It corrupts them. I don't.
Well, I think that's how she knew what the light was when she was asked. Like, right. You know, she said it's.
There's this part here. I have this clip here where she shows the boys. She raises the two babies. They grow into
strapping young men.
Strapping young men. They have the we have Jacob and we have the boy in black, as they call him at that point. They're playing lots of the. He finds a game and they start playing it. And I was really like, I had preconceived notions on this episode, Bill, because remember I was talking to you all about backgammon and have that clip on. I thought it was going to be start the beginning of the game and show us how it started, but it really wasn't that at all. And maybe that's what disappointed people. But, you know, as you guys know, I let the episode come to me. And I was a little puzzled when the episode was over, like, and just kind of, you know, that's what I like about shows when you just, I'm going to go on a walk and just think about this for a while, you know, I don't need to know everything right away. It didn't bother me that when the boys are born, she goes, his name is Jacob. And then, oh, there's another one. And another boy comes out and she's like, I never thought of a name for him. And
I didn't know I had another, you know.
Yeah,
another
I didn't think twins. Of a name for him. So he doesn't get a name, essentially. And a lot of people, and I think it's the point of just absurdity. What is his name?
Who cares?
His name is Pete, all right? Pete. His name is Medicated Shlomo. Pete. Shlomo is his name. Foggy. His name's Foggy, okay? It doesn't matter.
I like Shlomo.
He doesn't have a name. And what was funny is I was thinking about the Spaghetti Western Trilogy, Bill, and I was like, wait, he was the man in black, which is Lee Van Cleef, but now he's the man with no name, Clint Eastwood.
Oh, he's changed. He's morphed into something else.
Right, so the man in black is a bad guy in the Spaghetti Westerns. The man with no name, Clint Eastwood's character, he's essentially good. But he's got some poor qualities, right? Yeah. And
it is what it is.
But almost maybe that's a hint. He's not all bad. And as this episode shows us, a lot of people are just motivated on the fact that they never get any freaking answers and they have to make up their minds themselves. And I think that's essentially what this all is about. And let's play this.
I think that's what you said is important there about the man in black is that, or the man with no name, is that he's not all bad. And he's also human. As is Jacob. I mean, they're not some otherworldly supernatural creatures.
Yeah, they're not Egyptian
and
gods.
Like maybe the reason the man in black can't leave is because he's already dead. He's part of the island itself now.
I honestly think whatever that power is on the island, it possibly gives you some kind of power. Like Alice and Janie had something where she was like, in this clip I'll play here, you know, you can't ever hurt each other. How could you cause that to happen? I don't know. But let's go ahead and check this out.
Well, I think, like you said, I think Alice and Janie may have, you know, went into that light. And she probably took, you know, this is just me theorizing.
Right.
That probably isn't even her body. She was probably just, like, you know, separated from her. You know, body, like...
took over somebody else's.
Yeah, over somebody else's. She's the protector of the island. She has the black smoke inside of her. And, you know, basically the same thing happened to her that happened to the man with no name.
Right. And what's interesting is that, you know, when they grow up, he never stops wanting answers, and he's not going to get.
No.
So he goes to live with the people on the island.
And Jacob doesn't care.
He's like, just going to stick with mom, you know, because he wants to take Jacob with him. He's like, come on, we're going to get away from this crazy batshit nut job that we're living with.
Our mom.
Oh, and by the way, he knows that it's not his mom because the ghost version of her.
Of his mom, yeah.
The apparition of his mom. Comes to him, which we've seen several people on the island have that ability to speak with the dead, which is cool. That's a recurring theme here.
It seems like the island is playing games with people.
Right. You never know what's going on, if there's a good side or bad side. But I'm going to stick to that manipulates people or corrupts you. As soon as you're down there, you're like, what is this power? And you're like, I got to protect the island from people. because you know, you got to think through the history of time on this island. The others, they would snap people's necks because they deemed them unworthy. I mean, who are they to judge? I don't believe. You know, Jacob said that I let people decide for themselves, and they're always making really disappointing decisions. And that's why I think, you know, when the woman gave birth on the island, I almost picture like the, you know, the island's thousands, millions of years old, whatever. There, picture a tribe there living on the island, and the women keep dying in birth, right? And they're shipwrecked there from whatever land, Egypt, whatever. And they erect the statue in honor of a fertility god to please bring them children. That's how I think the statue got there.
Probably.
I don't think it has anything to do with Jacob or the man in black, though. I think eventually he went to live there. You know, right, it's like, hey, right, this place is pretty cool. I'm going to live here. And that's his plot or whatever. But I can easily see things like the temple are erected and built by people who live there who interpreted shit their own way. Right. Mm-hmm. And they were like, all these wondrous things are happening. We've got to build a temple in order to honor this power or whatever. And another thing is, what I think is interesting is that all that Jacob and his brother know is what their surrogate mother taught them. And they don't necessarily know the truth about anything. Just like present day Losties there know.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob doesn't have all the answers as far as I know from this episode. He's just as clueless as everybody else.
Well, who knows how long they've been there and how much they've learned about the island. They figured out, right.
But anyway, let's go ahead and play this clip.
Well, he's like the man in dark, the dark man, whatever you want to call him.
The man with no name.
The man with no name, you know.
I'm officially deeming him the man with no name.
I like dark man.
Digging the well and finding the light source under the island.
Right. You know? I like when he says there's spots like this. He throws the blade. It's like, sing, like magnetic. And, you know,
I thought he was bending the bullet like in Wanted.
Back then, though, Bill, they were like Ewoks. They're like, oh.
Yub nub.
So anyway, I'm going to play this clip.
Okay.
Did you know about the people?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell us about them?
Because they're dangerous and I didn't want to frighten you.
What makes them dangerous?
The same thing that makes all men dangerous. They come, they fight, they destroy, they corrupt, and it always ends the same.
They come? Come from where?
Another part of the island. You're never to go looking for them. If they found you, they would hurt you.
Why would they hurt us?
Because they're people, Jacob, and that's what people do.
But we're people. Does that mean that we can hurt each other?
I've made it so you can never hurt each other. This is the reason we're here. Don't go in there.
What's down there?
Light. The warmest, brightest light you've ever seen or felt. And we must make sure that no one ever finds it.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. And that's why they want it. Because a little bit of this very same light is inside of every man.
I want some of that.
But they always want more.
Can they take it?
No, but they would try. And if they tried, they could put it out. And if the light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. And so I've protected this place. But I can't protect it forever.
Then who will?
It will have to be one of you.
I'm worried.
Well, Mother, you should be. I spent 30 years searching for that place you brought me as a child, that waterfall with that beautiful light. And I have walked this island from end to end, not once coming close to finding it. But then I began to think, what if the light underneath the island, what if I could get to it from someplace else? Figuring out how to reach it took a very long time.
The people with you, they saw this too.
Yes. They have some very interesting ideas about what to do with it.
Do with it? You don't have any idea.
I have no idea because you wouldn't tell me, Mother.
What is that?
the wheel. We're going to make an opening. One much bigger than this one. And then I'm going to attach that wheel to a system we're building. Okay, a system that channels the water and the light. And then I'm going to turn it. And when I do, I'll finally be able to leave this place.
Could you go over that again?
How do you know it will work?
I'm special, Mother.
I'm always going around telling people that. But, you know, he didn't really go into detail on how the wheel works, did he? And you know how he said that I'm special or whatever? Honestly, like Hurley, he probably gets a lot of information from dead people. Don't you think, Bill?
It's entirely possible.
You know, it's just theorizing there. And
yeah.
Then
if he saw his mom...
Yeah, and so basically what happens is she knocks him unconscious, kills the village of people because she wants to stop these shenanigans with the wheel or whatever. And, you know, that's one thing. It's like, how did she kill everyone? I believe she's the smoke monster. Or
yeah.
She inhabits her. And, you know, perhaps now that I think about it, he sneaks up behind her and stabs her, right? And I've read people talk about that the fact that she never got to say a word. She even knew he was there, and he stabbed her in the back
before
with that blade.
Before she spoke, yeah.
Yeah, and she even says thank you, because basically he's freed her by killing her. Perhaps now the smoke needs to inhabit somebody else, and Jacob gets pissed off. You killed Mother, and he knocks him unconscious and throws him down the river, and he goes into the glowing cave. And what's funny is... the man in black is like, you know where this place was the whole time? You know, it's like, I never knew where it was. And she even says at points where, like, I always thought he was special when he was the one, but you are Jacob. Because, you know, Jacob kind of comes off as dopey, doesn't he, most of the time?
Jacob is dopey.
He just listens to whatever mom says, and the man in black is the one who questions everything. He doesn't just have this blind following of his mom and whatever she says. He's like, you know, I want answers. I'm going to go looking for them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes inside the cave, he comes out as smoke. And I thought that was a really good scene where Jacob finds his dead body and just cries over it because he's killed his brother. I thought that was... and, you know, the smoke, what the hell is it? Perhaps it found a new host body, right? Or found
yeah,
a new...
Yeah, right now it's been freed and it's...
And I believe part of whatever he was, you know, we know is in that smoke, but it found a new... whatever he is, a soul to inhabit, or a soul to inhabit the smoke,
or it's loose right now on the island, waiting for the next.
Well, he probably hasn't learned how to inhabit
exactly. That's what
the
I'm
bodies
saying.
On the island yet.
It's somewhere and waiting for the next wave
of
people.
I almost had this theory that when she told Jacob and she gave him the wine, "You're like me now." He had a responsibility, and that was to enter the cave and become that smoke kind of creature. And maybe when he saw his brother, he's like, no, he's going to do that shit. I'm not doing that. You know, and he threw him in there, and he stuck doing that job, and he didn't want that. That's just a theory I had also.
I think that's an excellent theory.
That almost like Jacob, he's like, and, you know, there's a part earlier when they were kids, and he's like always following the boy in black. So I just call him that to be funny. But he's like, you know, why do you get to make the rules? He goes, because it's my game. Maybe one day you'll have a game and you'll get to make people do whatever you want. And it's just kind of like, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
So we still don't know what the hell's going on when the episode ends. And I guess that was probably what was frustrating to a lot of people. It's like, wait, what? It didn't tell me everything. Why didn't you tell me everything at the end of the
episode? Because there's two more episodes left.
yeah, well,
they're not going to.
There's what? 3.5 hours.
Because honestly, this was the prologue. This was the what you read before even Lost starts. Now cut to episode one of Lost, and it's like, what did that have to do with what we saw? Oh well, I guess we'll work that out later in the book. Because, you know, each season is a chapter.
Enjoy it for what it is.
Each episode's a subchapter. Is that what they call them?
Or it's a, you know, if you want to call it like when they divide up a book maybe
like
into four parts.
One chapter's like 10 different sub-chapters.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know what I'm saying, right, Bill?
I know exactly what you're
every
saying.
Every episode is a chapter.
Or no, it's a sub-chapter. A season is a chapter.
A chapter.
Think of Heroes, Steven, Volume 1.
No, I don't want to think of Heroes.
I'm not going to think of Heroes.
No, it's hey, canceled.
I guess the book is never going to get finished.
Yeah. It's stuck on, what was the last thing, Brave New
By
World?
By the way, Tim Kring, dude, you had like a hit show and you ran it into the ground. You hack bastard.
It's what he is. He's a hack.
Oh, and I know that Damon Lindelof loves the guy. In fact, I think he got his he was brought up by Tim Kring, Bill, on Crossing Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But he has far surpassed the powers of his master. Now I am the master.
The master.
And you're just a hack bastard running Heroes.
Into the ground.
Seriously, they could do a remake of Heroes later on with somebody more talented. It's a solid premise.
I think, you know, there's a couple shows in the UK that do kind of a Heroes kind of thing, being human, and I can't think of the name of the other one.
It's
but
a premise you can run with and do it well.
Yeah, it's and infinitely. That's another thing. There's so many possibilities. Well, you don't have to stick with some lame comic book sequence.
Like in Hulu, there's comments like to episodes, and Fringe, it was like someone was like, I don't want this show turning into Heroes of people with powers and stuff. I was like, wow, I just don't get it. Whatever. It's not going to be Heroes, and it never will, but people have abilities. It's not the same thing. Stupid head. Big dummy head.
Stupid head.
Yeah, big dumb stupid face. Right? Right, guys? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, don't let it, yeah.
They're like, I mean, come on. Oh, what is this, Heroes now? The girl's got fire powers? It has nothing to do with that. Ugh.
You dumb bastard.
Wow.
Stupid head.
All right. Anybody have anything to add on Lost? I think that, you know, I want to tell you guys one thing real quick. I thought the finale was next. I didn't know there was another episode, then the finale.
Right.
So I was like,
there's an episode Tuesday and then a finale on Sunday.
And it's called Why They Died. This is.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I want answers. Just like Jack Bauer does. He wanted answers. And you know what happens when you get answers? He cuts your stomach open and takes a SIM card out of it, Steven. Mm-hmm. But I really want to know the conversation that Saeed had with Desmond. And I can't wait to see what that was. Can you guys?
I hope we get the jive of it. I don't know if they're going to show it in its entirety, but I hope we get some of it.
Start talking to me!
Oh, dear. Oh, my God. Jeez, okay. The guy's sufficiently pummeled. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do the news!
Steve and Johnny. Hang in there.
Bunny back in the box.
Oh dear. Oh, Steven, he just did it again, Bill. Wow.
I wonder where he went this time.
I have no idea. I hope he comes back soon. But what do we got in the news, Bill? Dude, where'd you get that? What the hell is that? Big Kahuna Burger?
I was hungry.
All right,
I wanted an Orange Julius, damn it.
Hmm, Sprite. May I have a sip of your
I was
going to
go visit
beverage?
Bill, but, you know, I was like, yeah.
Oh, so you're teleporting in our own
I have a Faraday
world.
Cage built around my house, so.
Wow, how do you even do that, Steven?
I suspect aliens.
Me too.
Steven is an alien.
All right, Bill, what do we have
you
in the news?
You don't think I actually
week?
Fly to all my jobs.
Oh, my God. I knew it.
He teleports.
Steven, we need you in California. Be there in 5 minutes. What? I mean, be there in tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
All right. if your friends ever dare you to eat something, don't do it. Just don't. Ooh. I don't care what it is, particularly if it happens to be a slug.
Oh.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Testicle.
Oh. No, that's even worse. I would never eat a slug or a sea cucumber.
Oh, that was vicious.
Wow.
Looks like a duck penis.
All right. So a Sydney man is critically ill after eating a slug as a dare.
Dumbass.
The 21-year-old contracted rat lungworm disease.
Holy shit.
A rare form of meningitis after the stunt of digesting the slug. Rat lungworm disease is caused by a parasitic worm that is carried in the pulmonary arteries of rats. Larvae are excreted in the rat's droppings, which are often eaten by slugs and snails. The disease can cause fatal swelling of the brain and spinal cord.
So this guy did the worst possible thing you could do to your body.
Yes. For a stunt. Dude, you should totally eat that slug. Oh, I'll eat that slug.
Yeah, he's like, wait, if French restaurants eat snails, bucks, might as well eat a slug. All a slug is a snail without a shell on it, right?
Can I cook it?
He doesn't have a house.
No, you can't cook it.
Basically, I always thought that as a kid. Slugs are homeless snails.
Yeah, they are. That's why I'd always, anytime I saw a slug outside the house, I'd pour salt on it.
Oh. Well,
it's because it's awesome, because it gets all foamy.
Where you're like, poor little guy has nowhere to live. Let me dump some salt on it.
Exactly.
He's like, let me miniature Jack Bauer you.
You poor little bastard.
Oh, it's just a slug.
Slug, tell me where it's. You swallowed it.
Oh, that is true. Wow. Jack is right. Swallow the slug.
Good thing Jack didn't swallow any of that SIM card.
You people are so stupid.
All right, so a guy from Jeremy McAnulty.
McNulty?
It looks like McAnulty.
I mean, McNulty.
McNulty from New South Wales Health said most people do recover from this. But the worm goes away by itself because the body's immune system eventually gets rid of it. But do not eat raw slugs or snails.
Yeah.
And always wash your hands if you touch them.
And there's also another major side effect.
Crapping all over the place. Oh, who gives a damn?
You get explosive diarrhea. Just all over. You can't help it.
Ugh.
God damn it.
I know you'll just love this next story, Jason, because it involves one of your favorite movies of all time. Yeah. In Newton, Pennsylvania, movies can be a useful tool in the classroom. But parents in Bucks County have a problem with the kind of movies their kids are seeing. Diana Nolan in New Hope says she was horrified when she found out that her daughter watched a screening of a very sexually explicit and violent film called Kids.
Oh, God.
As part of her 12th grade sexuality class.
Wow. You know what? That is not one of my favorite movies.
Jason, tell me.
One of your favorite movies to hate?
It's not that I hate it, it just disturbs the hell out of me.
It's a horrible movie, it really is.
There's a part where Chloe Savini, when she's like young and a teenager, she's diagnosed with AIDS pretty much, right? Or HIV.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's so depressed, she gets all drugged up at a party, and a dude pretty much rapes her.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell do I want to go to a movie and watch that in a movie? I want to watch, like, Brendan Fraser fight mummies or something. I don't want to watch this
the
shit.
The kid that rapes her have AIDS too? That
no, he was going to after that.
What was his name? Something? I can't remember.
Yeah, guys. Oh, man. I'm out of here. Bye.
I okay, so this woman says the kids is just one of the...
Oh, I'm back.
5 dozen movies on Council Rock's approved student movie list.
Wow, how is that an approved movie for kids to watch?
I don't know.
And tomorrow we'll be watching Elephant. The films of Gus Van Sant for all of your teenagers to watch. My Own Private Idaho is next weekend. That's not a good, like, today
is
in
that
health.
Part of their human sexuality.
Yeah. Class. It's like a freshman health class. You know, instead of me explaining this.
This is about homosexuality.
Yeah, we're going to watch My Own Private Idaho.
Gus Van Sant.
I know you guys are used to, you know, Neo being the one, but he also sucks some dick, all right? So we're going to check that out.
He sucked one big dick.
Oh, dear.
Very amusing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
Sorry, that was wrong. Apologies.
It's, what's interesting
Looks
is
like
the other movies
penis.
On the list. I can understand Saving Private Ryan. I can understand Glory. I remember seeing Glory in school. I can understand Schindler's List. What I don't understand is Garden State, the Zach Braff movie.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what the hell kids are going to learn from that movie.
I'd like to watch that in school. It would be a, you know, free day.
Are they going to learn how to be hipsters and enjoy indie music by watching Garden State?
It's just like you don't have to do schoolwork that day. That's what's nice about it.
Let's have a moving scene where it's raining and we all climb up on a bulldozer and scream because it's what we need to do.
Into an abyss.
That's true.
Yes, into an abyss.
When you stare into an abyss, it also looks into you, Zach Braff.
Another movie is Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, nice. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers.
I knew he was a punk.
I love that movie.
I do too, in some ways. But there's an F word every 3 seconds in it.
Oh, that's what's great about David Mamet.
A Michael Radford explicit version of The Merchant of Venice, which I don't believe I've ever seen.
Hmm.
I don't even know if I know who the hell Michael Radford is.
Michael Radford.
Is this the one with what's his name? Yeah, with Al Pacino, Jeremy Irons, Joseph Fiennes. Yeah, I can understand that. I don't think it's that graphic. I've seen that one. I mean, it's got a little bit of nudity in it.
Hmm.
But, you know, you're going to school, you want to see some nudity.
Are you not entertained?
But here's the thing. This woman's complaining about these films, but every person that is, or every kid that's going to watch the movie, takes home a permission slip that has to be signed by a parent.
Right.
So this woman signed the permission slip to allow her daughter to not only take the sexuality class, but approve of her viewing the movie Kids.
So she just signed it without looking then, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it's her own fault at this point.
You people are so stupid.
But honestly, whatever teacher decided to add Kids to the curriculum, you're a moron.
Yeah. Hey, kids, we're going to watch Kids.
Because it's about you kids. Don't get AIDS.
Very amusing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, I watched a lot of, like, TV or after-school specials. I wasn't doing any of that shit as a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sorry. I didn't grow up in New York, and I didn't rape women, and I didn't do drugs, and I didn't get AIDS.
Like, I went home and watched G.I. Joe, and I was probably way too old to be doing it. You know, I was reading comics. Wow.
Way too old to be doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it takes a man to admit that. Let's get into the – this could almost be qualified as cult news because – the following around people like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and all those other shit-stirring conservative lunatics, it's almost a cult-like following.
Right.
I'm special. So, mother.
It turns out that a fifth of Americans polled about that Deepwater Horizon rig that exploded and is now gushing oil into the Gulf.
Right.
It turns out that they believe that this was an environmental sabotage.
Oh, by who?
Yeah. Let's see. In fact, this is. It says this was. Rush Limbaugh floated the idea on his nationally syndicated talk show. So, are they trying to say that Greenpeace did this?
Oh.
My ass.
Polling director Tom Jensen downplayed the finding, arguing that the figure was insignificant. He noted, however, that if undecideds were included, the number of Americans who are unsure about or believe the environmental sabotage theory rises to more than 30%. What are they trying to say, that the sabotage was to bring around the apocalypse? Maybe if we destroy, if we pour oil and destroy our habitat, the rapture will happen quickly.
I'm guessing. By the way, I was never polled.
Yeah, neither was I.
You people are so stupid.
And I wouldn't want to get polled. That seems like it'd be uncomfortable.
It hurt.
Yeah.
But the fact that 9%, even just 9% of the voters think that the environmentalists caused the spill
9%
is enough to...
you say?
I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5.
9.5.
If environmentalists were really responsible, as Rush Limbaugh asserts, their ploy hasn't succeeded, the poll finds. 55% of Americans polled after the oil leak still supported offshore drilling. So they're saying that some environmentalist group deliberately did this to show people the dangers of offshore drilling? Really?
Yeah, I don't think they do stuff like that.
This is how you – yeah, this is how you go about trying to change people's viewpoints by,
you know, I'd rather them just speculate on movies, like what's going to happen in the Lost finale. Seriously, maybe they should be doing that.
How about if we just worry about getting the thing capped off and fixed,
right?
Instead of theorizing who did it.
Weren't they going to like drop a giant heavy cap thing on top of it?
Yeah, but it got clogged, and they're trying another one supposedly.
Shit. Oh, who gives a damn?
No, that's no way to be. That's really important stuff, lady. Man, what the hell?
I mean, I care about our Earth, and I hate that this is happening. It's horrible, and there is someone to blame. But I hate when stuff like this happens, that all these like conspiracy theorists come out of the woodwork and start to cook up these ridiculous
theories.
Well,
you gotta blame somebody. And by the way, you know, people listen to those shows because it gives – somebody who can articulate the hatred that they feel, they can just listen to it and go, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's right. You tell
them. There was this magnificent bit the other night on The Daily Show that Lewis Black did about Glenn Beck.
We're committed.
Where Glenn Beck basically compares everything to Nazism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so typical of a guy like that who preys on these feeble-minded followers, feeding this ignorant shit into their head.
I know,
that,
but it's,
you
just,
know, Obama's like, a socialist Nazi.
But you gotta just make up your own mind. And the whole oil spill thing, Bill, I have my own theories, but I'm not forcing it upon anybody.
No.
Do you guys want to know?
Sure.
Yes, please.
I suspect aliens.
Yes,
I knew it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it wasn't that the company that made the blowout thing to prevent the pressure blowback didn't, you know, create a faulty thing. It's,
yeah, no. It's
the aliens went down and destroyed it.
Human error? What are you talking about? That never happens. Come on.
No. You dumb bastard, you swallowed it.
You better cut that sucker open and take the SIM card out right now. We need to see who did this immediately.
Steven, you're not saying much.
Start talking to me!
He's going to plunge a knife into your gut.
I'm listening to
Steven, I'm
going to
find out what you had for dinner
stories
this evening.
Listen to Bill's.
All right,
news.
Moving on. Trying to keep moving so Steven stays awake. The coach of China's Olympic judo champion,
Tong
Wen, has blamed pork chops.
Wait, what is his name?
Tong Wen.
Tong Wen.
Yes.
And he's a judo champion?
Yes, he is. He's a
small judo man.
Yes, I knew it was coming. That's why I picked the story. So they blamed Pork Chops for her positive test for the banned substance clenbuterol. Tong, a 78-kilogram category winner in Beijing, has been banned for 2 years and stripped of her 2009 world title. But her coach, Wu Wei... Wu Wei Feng believes China's food safety problems were responsible for the positive test.
I like the pretty lies.
What does that have to do with anything?
Bai Ling is a huge judo fan. So this woman who looks
judo chop, pork chop? Judo pork chop?
I know. It's uncanny.
Please tell me they did a clever headline to this story.
No, actually, it was just Pork Chops blamed for Chinese judo failed drug test.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? They missed an opportunity.
I know. What would it be?
Go ahead and eat it.
Pork judo chop. I don't know.
Wait, judo champion chops more than...
more pork than...
I got nothing. Hey, that's why I'm not a journalist, Steven.
Yeah.
It's not my
somebody
job.
Somebody come up with a witty headline. All right,
Jason,
so this woman trained in Europe and was sick of the food, so her trainer gave her lots of pork chops when she came home. She must like pork chops and applesauce.
That's pork chops and applesauce.
Clenbuterol is used to prevent animals like pigs getting fat, but has been used illegally by athletes to build up muscle. You know what? I call bullshit. I think the trainer was shooting her up and said, well, let's blame it on pork chops. Because how many times have you heard of a Chinese person eating pork chops?
Never.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm wrong, whatever, but still.
Well,
come on.
We're dumb Americans.
I've never gone to a Chinese, an authentic Chinese restaurant and saw pork chops.
Well, I did see one thing. You know, when you go to like P.F. Chang's, they have
pork chop sandwiches.
God, that smelled good.
I love pork top sandwiches. Pork top? Did I say pork top?
Pork top. Pork top.
You sandwich? Know what those taste like, though, Steven?
Chicken testicle.
All right. The Phi Beta Phi sorority at Miami University of Ohio has been suspended for a year from the school after a drunk spring formal held at the Lindsay Lake Lodge on April 9th. 3 busloads of students were taken to the lodge that Friday night, with sheriff's deputies even stopping the bus on the way to the lodge for garbage being thrown out of the bus and women on the side of the road relieving themselves.
Whoa.
The sorority has been suspended by the university for a full year, and the national branch has placed the sorority on probation. That is some... I want to know what went down at this party. Because surely it wasn't just them pissing on the side of the road.
Yikes.
God damn it!
When the students arrived around 8 p.m., most were already heavily intoxicated, so they got their, drink on in the bus. Upon arrival, a male student asked
all over the place.
The Lake Lindsay staff.
I wouldn't want to clean
that's
that
why
up.
It wasn't just peeing. They were crapping, too.
That's why the person who cleans up the community the next day is like, what the hell happened here?
Look at this. Upon arrival, a male student asked a Lake Lindsay staff member if she had a washer and dryer in the building because he had vomited on his shirt and pants.
Oh, dude.
Man, that sounds like the party was in the bus.
You dumb bastard, you swallowed it.
Supposedly, they don't allow drinks on the dance floor, yet people continue to bring drinks in. A handle on one of the toilets in the woman's restroom was broken. Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. You know, if they shut down a toilet, man, they got to condemn the place, right?
Didn't work after that last flush.
I love this. if I read this entire list of infractions, we would be here for another 2 hours. I mean, these kids had a good time. Supposedly,
stop. No.
The caterer decided to stop serving alcohol because the students were becoming overly intoxicated. A couple of male students climbed over the bar and then
my goodness.
stole the alcohol. they found students in closets having relations. Uh-huh. They started stripping. There's a huge ornate lion statue that sits at the front entrance of the building. Someone knocked over the lion and broke part of the mane off. I mean, it sounds like basically a hurricane went through this place. I don't think they're ever going to be getting their security deposit back.
No, probably not.
Sounds like they had a hell of a time, though. None of them probably remember it. But sounds like it was fun.
Jeff Ramsey is frustrated by Andy's laid-back attitude.
Now, this guy rocks. You know, when your name is just plain Richard Smith.
Oh, yeah. Dick Smith.
It might be very tempting to change it to something with a bit more oomph. And that's just what he did. Smith, whose friends have traditionally known him by his nickname, Spiff, decided that even the nickname wasn't enough. So the 41-year-old changed his name to Stormhammer Deathclaw Firebrand.
Son of a bitch.
Mr. Firebrand now plans to change all his bank, tax, and work details.
Does he want to be like a guy in Mortal Kombat or something?
Yeah, I think maybe he's in World of Warcraft too much.
Wow.
I suspect aliens.
So now he's officially known by the Firebrand name. He says, it's just a strange name I like the sound of. And I love that they have to write Stormhammer explained.
Stormhammer?
Stormhammer Deathclaw Firebrand. That's even better than String
Fellow.
Hawk, String Hawk Fellow.
String Fellow, Fellow Hawk.
Fellow String Hawk.
And his brother, Sinjin Fellow. Hawk.
Sinjin.
Unbelievable!
All right, and one last story. This one goes out to Adam, because
oh,
I know
Adam.
He got his Black Wii this week.
Oh, wee-wee.
Just don't let the Wii go to your head like this kid in Colorado
Guys,
Springs.
Don't play this on the air.
witnesses told police a man went after several people in the Meadow Mobile Home Park with a bat, bit his mother on the ankle, intentionally rammed several cars, and hit a pedestrian and a tree all over him getting mad over a Wii game.
Oh.
When victims followed the driver after a short distance, he stopped, got out of his car, allegedly used a BB gun to break out the rear window of the vehicle. police said when they arrived, the boy, James Williams, ran at the police cruiser and jumped on the hood.
Oh,
the police report said when Williams
boy.
Jumped off the cruiser, they tasered him, then arrested him.
Holy shit.
What?
The police report didn't go into detail about what happened during the Wii game or what he was playing. That's the true. That's the information I want to know. I'm going to have to look for a follow-up on this, because I've never in my life heard someone going this batshit nutty over a Wii game, for crying out loud.
What the hell was that?
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
What do you guys say we mosey on over to the DVD laboratory over here?
Is Steven awake enough to sing the song?
Yeah. Well, we don't just go in through a door. We go in like this.
Why is it you guys have all the fun?
All right. Here we are. Steven, you ready to do some DVDs? Let's do it!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, 7 definition!
DVD
everybody.
Huh? I'm out of here.
What happened?
Jason, tell me.
Huh? Tell you what? What's the guy talking about? All right, I'm just confused.
All right, you two, stop screwing around with your time traveling.
I'm barely running a fair. Donkey Kong.
It's the alternate J-Strom.
We can barely run a Donkey Kong. Yeah, I have a mustache.
And hair.
Yeah, I have hair. That's a difference. Oh, and you know what else?
I can speak with an English accent.
Thank you. Ugh.
God damn it.
God, I love that lady.
All right. Starting off DVDs for May 18th, 2010. With 100 Million BC, a film from 2007, starring Michael Gross.
Ew. Oh.
Hey, Michael Gross is awesome.
I thought it was Gross for a second, but now I get it. It stars the dad from Family Ties?
Yes, it does.
Sweet!
An elite military team sent back in time. They all will not return.
Alone. My ass.
He returns with a tremor worms.
With a gigantic Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I suspect aliens.
Or aliens. Just as long as it's not multiple velociraptors, because they're clever girls.
What were those called?
Velociraptors.
Velociraptor?
Velociraptors.
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 Okay.
Very all right, amusing. Moving on. 2010 Doomsday, starring Amy Dolans.
Yay! Hey, she's still working.
Hey, it's got Cliff DeYoung in it, too. Oh, come on. That's a big name.
I think I know who that is.
Cliff DeYoung? Sure you do.
I'd know him if I saw him.
What else? God. I'm trying to think here.
Cliff DeYoung, yeah.
Cliff DeYoung, you know him.
You know Steven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the RoboCop
show. He was in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least he's getting work.
Damn.
All right. And moving on. Why not, while you're at it, watching shitty direct-to-video movies, why not pick up AVH, Alien vs. Hunter?
I suspect aliens.
Hey, it's got Dede Pfeiffer in it.
Who?
Dede Pfeiffer.
Ah, I haven't seen her since the first Power.
Yep, there you go.
Nice.
That would sell me on a movie like this.
Dede Pfeiffer.
All right, moving on. The film with Brandon Fraser, which is always a seller, with Harrison Ford, called Extraordinary Measures, where I guess Brandon Fraser's the doctor.
They have the world's largest tape measure in that.
It's about them getting the Guinness World Record for the longest tape measure. And they get it.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it really was, because they
what did they measure?
They go through all kinds of trials.
They measured the United States with it, coast to coast.
Just when they think they're not going to do it, they rise up and they pull it off and they make the extraordinary measure.
Nice.
You people are so stupid.
Hey. It's a really moving true story.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's definitely Oscar material.
Now, have you guys ever seen Extreme Measures? Compare that to Extraordinary Measures. Well, that might be a good double feature, actually.
But I think Extraordinary Measure is much longer than Extreme.
Yeah. I don't know if you're talking
Extreme, I would have to say, probably only goes about three-quarters the way Extraordinary does.
Like, extreme means too much, right?
Well, too much to be practical.
Just kind of crazy measurements. Extreme, you know?
Yeah.
like two guys on a BMX bicycle with tape measures measuring through the air.
Right, that would be extreme.
Looks
but
like
extraordinary is whenever you have to deal with a maybe a handicap, like maybe one of them has a peg leg or a baby arm.
Oh, and it's extraordinary that he could pull it off.
Yeah, okay. I think that's exactly. I think Brendan Fraser has a baby arm. And that's
okay,
what
you're
he has
start,
to
you're starting to sell the movie now. I want to check this shit out.
Yikes.
It's like, how does he... How does he
hold
games?
The tape measure?
Yeah.
With the baby arm?
That's what's
it's
so extraordinary.
It's a little baby tape measure.
On one end. The other side's full size.
No, see, what's so extraordinary about it is that it's a full-size tape measure, and he has it... And he's holding it with a baby arm.
Put the
so it looks gigantic.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've got a purple tape measure myself. What color do you got, Steven?
Yellow and black.
Cool.
Yeah, mine's yellow and black, too. You're special, though.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
All right. Another moving film, uplifting, extraordinary... True story also is Invictus about the South Africa rugby team.
Right.
When Matt Damon goes down there and joined it and helped them win the World Cup.
Well, that's nice of him. He just
I know.
In
I think it was
films?
Right after he made Good Will Hunting.
Ah, he's like a Good Will ambassador for rugby.
Yeah.
And hunting.
Oh, who gives a damn?
All right, moving on. L.A. Story with Steve Martin and a young and attractive Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's a great movie.
It
it's
is.
It's a strange movie, but it's hilarious. Wouldn't you say, Steven?
Yep. It's one of my faves from Steve Martin.
I'm glad you like it, Steven.
What, you don't like mixed nuts better?
The Jerk is one of my favorites, Steve Martin.
I love that. No.
You thought, just go.
Oh, I fucking
hate that one, too.
Nuts.
I love Man with Two Brains.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. Wow.
Only if I can rub your testicles.
Huh? What's all this
all right.
testicle talk?
I don't know. Testicle. I really don't know. Moving on, my pick for DVD of the week, Mega Shark versus Octopus.
Ooh, who's going to win that battle?
I think it's a draw.
Very amusing.
Luckily, they have Deborah Gibson and Lorenzo Lamas on the judges' team.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Debbie Gibson?
Yes.
No, Deborah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deborah.
Mm-hmm. She's all grown
Deborah
up now.
Gibson.
And Lorenzo... Renegade Lamas?
Yeah. In fact, that's what it says here. In quotations between Lorenzo Lamas.
Lorenzo Renegade Lamas. Awesome. Come on, guys. I think we're sold on this flick. Am I right?
Seen it.
Yeah.
Steven.
You've seen it?
Yes.
When did you see this?
It's a sci-fi movie.
It doesn't sound sci-fi.
No, it sounds... I think this is another true story. In fact, this is one of the challenges that Brendan Fraser had when they were using the measuring tape. They had to take it past...
When did Debbie Gibson start acting? That's what I'm getting from all this. When the hell did this happen?
I think it started whenever she did her music videos because, you know, she really had to throw all of her abilities into that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. The
Way
Messenger.
Go, Steve, that's good stuff.
The Messenger.
Yes, this is with this is an actual serious movie.
Yeah, I've seen this. It's with Kevin Bacon. He rides a 10-speed.
No, that's Quicksilver, isn't it?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. What does Quicksilver even mean? How am I supposed to remember that?
This one actually has Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are the...
their job is to tell families when their family member who was in service was killed in action, etc., right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Not my cup of tea.
Now, it sounds like a very funny and enjoyable film.
It sounds that's ripe to bring the acting gravitas, as they say.
I hear it's a really, really good film.
Yeah.
Jason, we're committed.
To what?
I might actually have to check this out maybe this weekend, though. I'm sure it's on Amazon Video On Demand or something, which I happen to be using a lot more than Netflix anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just easier.
Is the picture quality pretty good?
Yeah, it streams HD, through the Roku box that I use. So it's very good. I mean, it has, the full surround sound and all that. Sure, it's a little overly compressed at times. When there's a really dark scene, you get the macro blocking. But I don't really mind that much because, it's not like I'm owning it.
Right.
So I don't get upset. Like, gravitas. Oh, macro blocking. Oh, edge enhancement. I'm renting it.
Gravitas.
I don't have to go somewhere to get it. All right. Next DVD is a movie I've wanted to check out for a while now. It's a film called North Face. It's a true story.
North Face.
North Face. Yes, it's about this Iger North Face. It's like the mountain to climb, or the area.
Oh, okay.
To climb.
Oh, who gives a damn?
Yeah, it's you know that movie, the Clint Eastwood movie called The Iger Sanction?
Yes.
Is it that same place?
I have to admit I've never seen the Iger Sanction, so I wouldn't know.
But it's about mountain climbing, so I figured it's...
Yes, this probably is. This is based on a true story. We've had many true stories this
week. Nice.
And it's about a competition in 1936 to climb the most dangerous rock face in the Alps. And it's about two top German mountaineers... And they take up the challenge to be the first to scale the rock face, also called the murder wall.
Put the bunny back in the box.
So I think it sounds damn intriguing, and it got a shitload of really wonderful reviews. So
sometimes movies like that, I like to skip to the end where they get to the top, though. I'm kind of impatient.
Don't want to see all the montage training and
all
them climbing.
That climbing, it makes me tired.
Yeah, I can't handle any movie with too much effort in it.
Yeah, I like when people ride escalators in movies and they get rides or, those... Yeah.
It's easier to relate to.
Rickshaw. I want rickshaw chases, stuff like that.
There's still one guy's running.
Yeah, but he's minority usually.
You just have to concentrate on the person riding the rickshaw.
I can't relate, Steven.
Chef Ramsay is frustrated by Andy's laid-back attitude.
Me too. That Andy.
That guy
can
never pull a rickshaw.
Andy, he's too laid-back to pull a rickshaw.
All right, and next DVD is one that maybe you can relate to a little more.
Ooh.
It's Jackie Chan's The Spy Next Door.
Oh.
What, you don't relate to small judo men?
Not my cup of tea.
Oh, come on. You know you'd love a movie with Jackie Chan and George Lopez.
Screw it,
George Lopez. And Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray? Oh, sign me up. You know
that's
what?
That's the trifecta of horrible.
You know what I'd like to do that, Billy Ray? Yes! Yes!
I think I'd like to do the exact opposite to his daughter.
Oh, that's sick.
What is that? What? She's old enough now, isn't
no.
she?
No.
Damn it. Well, in a couple years, I'd like to do the exact opposite to his daughter.
Get off! The mutant guy!
Oh, God, is she annoying. I have to put duct tape over her mouth.
Dude! This is getting sick!
Hey! I'm nothing but nice. Never mind. I'm digging a hole. I gotta check how old she is at this point. Because I don't want to be the creepy dude. Well, I already am, but... Holy shit! Born in 1992, Nash is wrong.
God,
one more year. She's 17.
Yeah, she's 17.
And then you can bust out the duct tape.
Yeah, then I can bust out the duct tape.
Oh.
I'm out of it.
Wow.
Wow. That's... controversial.
All right. And last DVD / Blu-ray of the week is the all-time feel-good film. It's Walkabout. Nicholas Rogue.
Wow.
How do you say his last name?
Nicholas Rogue.
Okay, that's what
and,
I thought.
And John Barry does an incredible score to that movie.
Yeah, it is an incredible score, but it's quite possibly one of the most depressing movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
You need to watch the Disney remake. Oh, God, what was that called? They did the same movie later, A Walk in Something. I can't remember. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
My ass.
No, really? Come on. Ruth? Bill, I'm trying to... You haven't done a single movie yet that I want to buy, I don't think.
It's a really shit week, I'm telling you. I mean, it's all garbage movies and a couple really depressing ones.
Very amusing.
I wish I could automatically skip to next week because there's much better movies coming out. But, alas,
you know,
we haven't
even talked about how they've been delaying movies on Netflix and rentals where they...
Yeah, that's horseshit.
They put it on sale for a couple of weeks or whatever. They did that with Avatar. You couldn't rent it. You had to just buy it. What is that?
Bastards.
Well, it's
Jason,
the, you know, it's
me.
The way they're manipulating Netflix so that people have to go out and buy it instead
right.
of renting it
because
they're not getting enough money.
Because they think it's hurting sales. But I always thought Netflix had to buy... the Blu-rays or DVDs in the first place, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and how many thousands do they buy?
Yeah, I did. I don't understand. Me no understand. Do you understand, Steven?
No. I mean, do they got to pay a percentage of that
Start
rental back to the...
I don't know. Maybe they
know?
Pay too, like, so much off the suggested retail price that it hurts them or something, or they're just greedy bastards. I'm going to go with greedy bastards.
Yeah, I would have to go with the same.
No, come on.
No, seriously. But I should.
Right.
I myself shouldn't have to pay extra.
I'm special, Mother.
Oh,
exactly,
Mother.
I don't have to. I'm
Mother!
Special.
Mother. All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for
I'm
doing
sorry
that.
They weren't better. I truly apologize.
No, it's okay.
I was struggling through it. Also, that's.
I was just trying to think, what's going to be the DVD of the week this week? It's
going
to have to be the Jackie Chan movie.
Maybe the giant octopus versus monster shark or whatever.
Nah,
the hell's it called again?
We shouldn't celebrate that. It's a sad day.
We shouldn't celebrate mediocrity.
Yeah, that's just a sad day in hell, I think.
I don't even think they show that movie in hell.
Yikes. I can't
I
do
just
that
want to
either.
See the shark eat the Golden Gate Bridge, and then I'll turn it off.
Awesome. All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Oh, who gives a damn?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal.
Ah, she just doesn't care about anything.
I suspect aliens.
My ass.
All right, everybody. That was episode 202 of Nowhere to Mulberry. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. If you'd like to tell us about what you thought, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You'll find a link to the forum and Mulberry Old School if you want to listen to all of our old episodes. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 206-202-3491. Or, you know, you can send us an MP3 of your voicemail at nimpodcast@gmail.com. That always sounds really nice, Stephen, when people do that. And I want to thank all the people who sent voicemails, Adam, Chris in Buffalo, Andy Hayes in his wrecked car. Sorry about that. Sean, Chinstroker versus Panther, which he's going to lose that fight. You know,
I think that might actually be a better title.
Chinstroker versus Panther. Just seal him up in a room with a panther. Like, oh, shit, man. I got the shit into this deal.
I'm just going to stroke my chin while I decide what to do.
And, of course, Rick from Australia. Thank you, Rick, very much for your voicemail. It really brought the gravitas this week, didn't you think, Steven?
That was the kicker for me.
You've got me worked up. Now, come on.
Yeah, got me worked up, too. So, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm really excited to talk about the Fringe finale. You know, when I started thinking about this, the Fringe finale, the Lost finale. Wait a second. We won't have any shows to talk about. When's the 24 finale? That's coming up.
We might just have to take a couple weeks off.
But you know what's coming back, guys? The Cake Boss, huh?
Yeah, boy.
Also, some other great shows. Special. You remember back in the day when summer happened, there was no good shows on, but we got some great shows coming back, like Mad Men, Burn Notice, The Good Guys. I really want to see that Bradley Whitford show. That looks hilarious.
Does that premiere this week,
Tuesday?
The Good Guys?
Yes, Tuesday.
I got it tagged. Excellent. I'm all ready. And there's another show that's coming back that I'm trying to remember that we cover usually.
I got to remember to tag the Good Guys.
Oh, June 1st, Hell's Kitchen comes back.
Hell's a poppin'.
Hell yizzle. I'm excited about the Hell's Kitchen. I just hope that Gordon Ramsay has no problem. This is so bad. Wow. I hope that Gordon Ramsay has no trouble with that Andy guy. What about you? You think that too, Steve?
I think I will.
Chef Ramsay is frustrated by Andy's late.
Oh, too bad he's frustrated. Oh, well. Sorry about that.
No, come on.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. Right, Steven?
Yeah.
Wow.
He just doesn't like laid-back people.
So funny.
So, Bill, I want to thank everybody that's in the chat room that came to listen live, but let's go ahead and do a rundown.
All right. Oh, shit. I just closed the window.
Just go by memory.
Well, I know Andy Haynes was in there earlier. I know that Credo's always in there.
In Andy's honor. Ooh.
I know Sean was in there for a while, or maybe he still is. Okay, yeah, I'm back in. Credo, Marvin, Sean156, Special Brian, SPCAA, maybe something, SPCAL Brian.
Put the bunny back in the box.
And Truman are in there. So we had more people early on, but they got bored and left.
Aw, they got bored. Boo.
Now, I think they, some people were just busy. They had to get a couple things done. I think Andy Hayes was actually still at work.
Well, I hope that his car's okay, and I hope physically he's okay. So,
yeah, he said he's fine. Just he had a bit of a, adrenaline rush afterward. He was all shaky. But
oh, yeah, I bet like Bill Bixby in the pilot for the Hulk. Remember that? He's trying to change the tire or whatever, and he Hulks out. Okay, whatever. It's time to go. Steven.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up?
I'm ready to leave.
Are you ready to leave?
He's ready to fall asleep on the way home.
All right. Well, see you later, Steven. Bye.
You.
All right. He's gone. All right. Bye, everybody. I'm out of here, too. See you later, Bill.
See ya.
See you next week or whenever.
I'm out of it.
Oh, Gordon Ramsay's out of here, too.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Now this is podcasting.
You people are so stupid.
Is it over yet?